We are Brightside, home of the
good to finally sort of meet you.
I know. Finally, sort of meet. Yeah.
Sort of meet. Yeah.
Yeah, you were, you said you were nervous, right? Are you one of the, forgive me, are you one of the people that were like, all right, I'm working my way up to this?
Probably. Yeah. Probably, yeah.
I get those emails and I can never remember who exactly it was when they finally get on, but I get the emails from people like, I think I want to do it. And I'm like, you're more than welcome whenever you're ready.
I think the last few years has been difficult for a lot of people, right? For a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I worked at a dealership for like 15 years.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. I was in the parts and service. I ran the parts department for a while and ran service for a while and kind of, you know, wrote service kind of the whole nine yards. And when I was listening to I've listened to you since the beginning of COVID. I don't remember when you started, but
it was literally the fall before COVID.
Okay.
You're fairly early on because COVID hit in obviously 2020.
Yeah.
I started home theater in the fall of 19.
Okay. So. Yeah. So it might have even been a little bit before COVID, but I know it was right in there somewhere.
Wow.
And I know you said when you said what you did for a living, your day job. I said, I know who DJ is. He's the dent guy.
Paint guy, but same idea. Yeah, it's the same idea. It's like I work alongside the dent guy, actually, at a couple of my dealerships.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had those guys come in all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you guys have a paint guy or do you just have a dent? Dent guy is more common. Everybody knows the dent guy.
So I haven't worked there for several years. I think I quit in 2011. I think.
I've been doing this since 97.
Wow. Yeah. I started in 95 and worked there until 2011 and then jumped ship into something else, you know, the IT world.
Nice.
Good or bad. I don't know, but it works.
Yeah. It's funny. You sound great, by the way. And you said, I mean, your DM to me before was like, oh, you can help me with the microphone or something because like, you're like, I connect servers. I do this. You know, like you're an IT guy. You're like, I'm not used to microphones. I'm like, look, you know, your way around a computer.
Yeah. I can do that. I plug this in and my wife is at work today. She works from home a couple days a week, but she happened to be at work today. She said, well, I'll call you. I'll get you on a Teams meeting in a little bit and we'll try it out and make sure, you know, that it sounds okay and whatnot. And I said, okay. So,
now that's support. That's a family effort to get you sounding just right for, you know, this huge event of a podcast.
You're famous, right? I mean, you were in the top 3% of all podcasts.
Yeah, you heard that. That's pretty funny. Yes.
I did.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like you're famous. I mean, it's just like I'm sweating over here, you know? It's like, well, I can't go on a podcast. It's in the top 3%. I mean, who am I?
Yeah. Like I said, HT Guys is in the top 1. AV Rant's in the top 1.5.
Okay.
They're at, and they have scores. The one particular one that's the only one. Listen Notes is where I found it. I found it a while ago. But it's the only, I want to say, if you can have an unbiased, you know, cause like there's no real way to track this stuff. It's like, crazy how
somebody could download it and then never listen to it. So that's going to count, but not
right. So this one here seems to be the most accurate. Cause I compare it to other podcasts that I know are doing very well. And, you know, like you'd type in, Rich Keefe's hashtag dork, which I listen to here. And that one comes up in like 51, 52 for a score. R and Braden were at that high. They were 51, 52 for a little while. Now they're at 49 now. Okay. And which is really high. That's their score, but that puts them in like the top 1%.
Oh, okay.
And wow. then AV Rant's score is at 40. And at one point, they were at like 42, I think they peaked at. And I've been looking at it for like a year, maybe a little longer than that. And then I was at, chat got as high as 32.
Okay.
When I started this one, I think it's one shortly before this, before I did this one, or shortly after I started, I found this place. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. It's like the home theater, because of the, you know, just the community, it just was pretty quick. There's not a lot of home theaters. It went bang, bang, bang. I went up pretty quick, caught up to chat, which was our old podcast.
Oh, okay.
Caught up to that. And then for the longest time, I was stuck at, my score was 34. Oh. And then, and it was still, I think that had me, 34 had, still was in the 3%. And then the other day, I just happened to check. And it's like, I check every like month or two, something like that, because right. it doesn't really. Right. And I was like, oh, wow. I thought it was down and it actually bumped to 35. So I know it's moving. I'm like, ooh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. AV Rant's at 40. And then, like I said, HT Guys is at, for home theater ones, is at, 49. So, good. And that's their listen note score. But then They'll tell you what percentage that puts you in the world. And
gotcha.
To really be in the top, even just to be in like the top 10%, you just have to have a heartbeat and a consistent right. podcast really, week after week.
Yeah.
Because really. A lot of people like, I'm doing a podcast, and a month later, you never hear it again, but it goes into rankings.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
But yeah. So look at you. You're in the top 3%.
I know.
Top 3% podcast.
I know. I'm going to
there you go.
I told my wife, I said, if I did this on a regular basis, I'd have to have something a little more permanent, because I moved a small table, a small desk into here. As you can see, I'm in the theater, and because I knew it'd sound better in here because of the treatments. And then I have my laptop sitting here, and then the mic, and, everything's just kind of temporary, right now. And it's like, if I did this, on a permanent basis, I'd have to have something a little more,
And we learn. I mean, especially being home theater guys, you learn quickly how to manipulate it and stuff. Like I'm shutting off my AC because it's going right next to me, and I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta shut that off. You can manipulate, like in here, I have no room treatments, but I have my microphone's close.
So right.
It's, you can do it that way. Okay. You sound, like I said, you sound great, but that's because you have room treatments. You're in a room that's gonna probably be pretty dead.
It's fairly dead, the front of it. I'm not done yet. This is still a fairly new room.
Okay.
So I'm still making the room treatments and going front to back, I scooted the desk up front, so it'd be in the middle, by the screen where the most treatments are. And but I think eventually, I could probably put a small desk in the very back if I wanted to. When I get more treatments back there, but I'm not sure I want to encroach on the home theater with the podcast station. I really love it's the first time I've ever had a dedicated room.
Yeah.
And of course I've wanted one since the 90s,
It takes a while.
It really does. It's so funny when I think back, to years past. And I think you and I are roughly the same age. So
right. I was born in 70.
73. So,
okay.
Yeah. Yep. So pretty much. I think back and I think, in the 90s, I worked for a local audio video store.
Oh.
And we sold home theater equipment. Of course, I live in a small town. So, there's not a big customer base for that. Even back then, there wasn't, But we sold big screen TVs, the old style, the old projection, rear projection TVs, and laser disc players, things of that nature at the time. And I remember thinking then, one of these days I'll have a home theater room, right? And it won't be. And that would have been like in the early 90s.
So did you have anything at the time, or were you just working in a store?
So I was always interested in audio growing up.
Mm. That's where it starts.
Yeah, absolutely. The old, I can't remember the name of it. I want to say Stereophile, but I don't know if it was around back then. But was it around back in the 80s? Yeah, 80s, 90s. It started with that. And then you just kind of progressed from there, right? You know, like you get a VCR and you watch Star Wars or whatever, you know, and it's like, okay, well, this VCR's mono, they got these new ones out that are stereo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, mom, I need one of these hi-fi stereo VCRs. And she's like, why?
Everybody used to make fun of me for saying that. Hi-fi. I need a hi-fi VCR. Because out here, it's like you don't say the R's.
Right.
There's literally an R at the end.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
You'd be like, I need a hi-fi VCR.
Yeah. My wife knew pretty much where you were from when I was listening to you one day and she walked through the room and she's like, oh, is he from Boston? I'm like, nice. Yeah, how do you know that? And she used to fly out there all the time. For
did
work.
She get aggravated with me right away?
No, not at all.
Oh, we tend to do that to people. Like, oh crap. That's why Steve is so special. It's like he's like, nice. I love Boston. I'm like, you do? We don't hear that often. It's like, ah.
That's funny. But I've only been out that direction once, but yeah,
it's all it needed.
You used to go one time. That was it. I'm done. You go, honey. I'll be here.
Nice place to visit. Never coming back.
Somebody's got to stay and take care of the dogs and everything, you know? So,
but, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So it just kind of went from there, you know, like the hi-fi VCR and then, you know, and I thought, well, I need, and I know you always ask people, you know, how they get into things, how they get into the whole home theater thing. And I know everybody always says Star Wars. And I am huge Star Wars fan. I mean, obviously, I mean, you know, it's, I've spent way too much money over the years on Star Wars. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But when I think about home theater, I think Star Wars got me into the whole movies, you know, like watching movies and wanting to upgrade, you know, like the VCR, you know, and all this stuff. But I walked into a store in the mall when I was in high school. And I can't remember the name of it, but I think it was owned by Radio Shack. I think they owned a couple different hi-fi store, you know, higher end stores.
Okay.
And they were playing Top Gun.
Oh, well, I'll get you involved.
Yeah. And I walked back there. Of course, you know, my mom was shopping around, you know, whatever. And I was just killing time and they were playing Top Gun. I walked in, I walked back to where the big screens were and I stood there and I'm like, wait a minute. This isn't normal. Like, why is this? I got sound coming behind me. Like, and that was before ProLogic even. That was just Dolby Surround back then.
Surround, yeah.
Center, yeah. And so, you know, the salesman walked over and I started talking to him and I'm like, what is the speakers and everything? You know, what's the deal here? He goes, oh, that's the Dolby Surround, you know, the front, the back. And he kind of explained it a little bit. And I was like, oh. Well, I got to figure out what that is because I need that.
Yeah.
Like I need that, right? Like, I don't know exactly what it is or what it entails, but I need to have it.
So yeah.
At that point, pre-internet, of course, but you know, you're
exactly
you find out, right? You're digging through magazines. You're talking to whoever, you know, I mean, and trying to find out. And it's like, oh, there's this, you can buy a receiver that has this Dolby Surround built in and, but you got to have a stereo signal, you know, to utilize it. And it's like,
right.
Oh, well, I need stereo VCR then, you know? And yeah. And as you know, it just goes from there. And,
yeah.
Yeah. So I had to answer your previous question. Sorry. I'm getting off the roundabout way here.
There is no track. Don't worry. You're not getting off anything. It's okay. Like, this is great. Okay. go, Tom, go.
But so I did, when we got married, when Kathy and I got married and we bought our first house, I didn't have anything there. I didn't have anything set up for a few years. I had something at home, you know, when I lived with my parents but it was just, you know, a couple speakers. It was in my bedroom, right? I mean, you know, it was a couple speakers up here and a couple back here and they were just hooked up to the same, you know, running in series. So I wouldn't blow up the, you know, old stereo I had him hooked up to or whatever, but it was
I blew it up.
No, you do. Yeah, well, yeah, that's okay. That's okay. So, So
I was trying to create Atmos before Atmos existed, and I had four car speakers literally in the ceiling with holes cut.
Did you really?
Yeah. I had I had four car speakers in the ceiling. Plus I had the two, what they would call towers back then, but giant boxes that we had at the front. And I had two bookshelves in the back. And this is obviously, this is in the 80s.
Yeah.
It was probably all playing the same thing.
Right.
It was all mono, right? It's, you're just trying to, you're trying to duplicate what you did in the car, right? It's like you just surround yourself in your car, especially when you get your first car.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you like stereo sound, but at the same time, you're like, you just want sound coming from everywhere, right? That's your initiation to this. So then I tried to duplicate it at home, and when I blew it, it was, you know, one of those stereo systems that it looks like a rack system, but it's actually all one just the box. Piece. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With the double tape deck, the turntable on top, and amplifier, equalizer, blah, blah, blah. They're all blinky lights and crap like that, right?
Those were the coolest thing ever,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was outside. My bedroom was in the basement, but it was a split level, so I'd still have full windows.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the back window open. And I turned the bookshelf that was close to it and aimed it out, turned the thing all the way up so I could do some yard work out there. And all of a sudden the sound went away and there was smoke coming out of the bedroom window.
Because, so you really blew it.
Oh yeah. I blew it. And what had happened is I ended up taking it to work. And I talked to one of the electricians in the shop where I was working, and he's like, yeah. And he explained to me all about impedance. And if you do this, it backs up and it'll eventually back all the way back into the amplifier and just go, poof. It's all this white smoke,
magic smoke.
Yeah. And I just ran, and it was because I had those speakers on top, and he's like, those car speakers are what did it because they had a different impedance than what the thing was set up for. So
most of those were 4 ohms, I think, back then. Yeah.
Yeah. I toasted speakers. The thing. So whatever. Yeah. But anyways, sorry. Go on.
No, you're fine. Yes. So when we lived in a house shortly when we first got married for a year or so, but it was a real small house, you know, and we had the kids and there wasn't a lot of room for us. So we moved into a much bigger house. And I said, oh, well, this room here be perfect, right? The front room of the house, you know, be perfect. I'll just wall it off. You know, it was an old house. And to make a really long story short, because we'll be here forever.
I've done those.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. A side note, are you doing the 24-hour podcast?
I am. We don't know when yet. Todd and I talk probably every week or every other week about it. Okay. And we're just trying to nail down some things. As a matter of fact, before we came on, I was looking at the calendar and I'm like, this possibility. I'll put it this way. My 300th show is coming up and it should be is our 300th show. Now it would be at the end of July if I keep going on the pace I'm on. And I don't even think we can put it together in that amount of time. And it's not doing it. It's getting the logistics together for the benefit that we want to do. So, but it is going to happen. I can pretty much guarantee that, because even if everything fell apart on the logistics part, now I just want to do the damn thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just to say you did it. Yeah.
Exactly. It's absolutely like Everest to me. And then we'll do it again.
Well, I'm an IT guy, so I'm up all hours of the night. So
there you go.
If you need somebody in the middle of the night, you know.
When
everybody, when normal people are asleep, which, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we lived in that particular home. We lived there for 15, 16 years. And, you know, I had it set up in the living room and I had it set up in different places in that house. And when I was living there is when I bought my Boston Acoustics. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd sent you a message before that I was kind of in the same boat you were in as far as wanting new speakers, but having the same ones I've had for 30 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, I bought those in 95 is when I bought those speakers that I have now, and, you know, still using them. At least the front speakers, I've swapped out the surrounds, I've bought different ones. They're Boston, so they're a little newer than mine, but not much, you know. But
yeah,
but yeah, it's anyway. Yeah, so we were there for a while, and a couple years before we moved, we said we need to add a garage, and I thought, oh, that's perfect. We'll add a garage. The room above, you know, we added onto the back of the house, and then we had a space. It's kind of weird, but the way it was, but we had a room upstairs in between the main part of the house and the garage.
Okay.
And because we had it was a two-story home, but yet somebody had probably added on to it over the years, and it was just one level in the back. So we added a second level to that and then built a garage behind that, all attached. I thought, this room in between is going to be my home theater room. 100%, right? Like it's upstairs. I knew the guys that were framing it. I worked with him at the dealership. And he also had his own construction company that he had ran for years, and then he just did it on the side. And so I knew he'd build it exactly the way I wanted it built and everything. And I said, this is going to be perfect. Right. So, you know, it was like 17 by 30. I mean, it was
nice size.
I mean, it was, you know, and I said, hey, I need you to use 2x6 top and bottom plates because I need to put staggered 2x4 studs in it. You know, I mean, the whole nine yards, right? I even had hired a guy to help me design it, to do the acoustics part of it. You know,
yep.
I had spent the money to do that. And the guy's no longer, I think he retired shortly after that. But I think
anyway, you might have overpaid him.
Yeah, well, like, I don't know. he disappeared off the internet like forever. Like I never saw him again. But so that's warning to you, by the way. But
I'm doing it all myself. So if my designer disappears, it's me.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But anyway, so you know, we had it framed, and they had finished the garage, and we'd lived there for a while, or for about a year after we got it done, and we were trying to figure out, you know, what we were going to do. And we were driving home one day from church or, you know, something. And Kathy said, you know, I think it's time we leave.
Huh?
And I just knew exactly what she was talking about. You know, I mean, we've been married forever, you know, so, and I was like, yeah, I think you're right. So, and we, you know, there were other things going on, you know, family, not us personally, but, you know, outside family issues and whatnot. And I said, yeah, I think you're right. So we put the house up for sale and moved.
So you had the room designed.
I did.
Oh,
I had the room designed.
And you didn't finish it. And then you left.
I did get to finish it, DJ. I did get to finish it. I got to go in and finish it as a master bedroom.
Yeah, that is a good size master bedroom too.
Yeah, because I needed to finish that room to sell the house, you know. And yeah. So I got to go in and finish it as a master bedroom. And
put stadium seating in your master bedroom?
That'd be nice. I didn't get that far yet. I wasn't sure. You know? the wall adjacent to the house, I framed another wall in front of it, you know, to have the wall.
Yeah.
Isolated it with the clips and the whole nine yards, right?
Oh,
isolated
my God.
Clips. That's got to be the quietest master bedroom there ever was. You know, and I joke about it. We'll drive by now, and it's like, you know, whoever's living there now, it's got to be the quietest bedroom they've ever had in their life.
Yeah, and they're taking it for granted. They're like, well, this is the way it is, right?
Well, nope. Normal, right?
I mean, yeah. It's like, yes. There's so many jokes. Luckily, John isn't here with me
because
we would go off on a tangent right now.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Family friendly podcast, right?
Yes. Exactly. Podcast. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Yes. I think John and I would probably get along very well.
Yeah. Well, I think all guys do.
Yeah.
Not on a family friendly podcast, but.
No, probably not. No. True enough. So so we left there. Crazy, I know, but it was the right thing to do. You know how it is. I mean, you know, it's just the right thing to do, and it's like, well, I'll do it again, right? I mean, at some point, you know. So we moved here. We lived in town. We moved out here. We're in the middle. We're out in the country now, and we just got internet out here like 3 years ago, like right before the summer before COVID.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We
just had got internet.
Yes, we had.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. Let's talk about that for a little bit, because a lot of people don't understand why DVD sales are so high. Why don't we do more like this? Why don't they pump more into streaming and get the bandwidths up? And I'm like, there's a large portion of the population.
Yes.
That is very rural that they don't have access.
Yeah. So when we moved out here, in the summer of 2011, and when we left town, we had cable internet, and it was probably 10 megs down, roughly, you know, about what everybody had at the time. You know, we were 8, 10 megs, you know, 12, something like that, at least in this area, you know, because we're always a little bit behind, you know, everybody else. And I thought, well, you can get 5 or 6 megs out of DSL now, so I'm sure it'll be fine if we move out in the country, because that's kind of where we were looking. So bad on me. We just never thought about it. So we found this house. We really liked it. And I called Verizon and I said, hey, I need a phone, you know, and I need to get hooked up with DSL. And she punched my address in. She said, well, we don't have DSL in your area. And I was like, well, I thought everybody had DSL. And she said, no, she said, we don't offer it in your area. Fast forward, I found out later, our phone lines out here were over 30, 40 years old.
Yeah.
They wouldn't support DSL.
They don't have exactly. And they don't have the infrastructure.
We live on a pretty long road. Half the road has DSL. The other half doesn't. Right. Because they ran the lines from the highway and they went halfway down the road and stopped. Because they said, well, there's not enough people that live down on the other half of the road to make it worth running the lines. So they quit. So there was no DSL. So we had satellite internet which was terrible. I mean, it's not like Starlink is today. You know, it was the old
right.
Star. I can't remember what it was called. Was it Wild Blue or something like that? It was awful. You know, ping times are in the thousands. It's just, you know, it's like best way I could always explain it to someone was, you know, you got to send a signal from my house to space,
right,
back down to the servers in Texas, back up to space and back to me. And that's my ping time. You know, I mean, that takes a long time in
right.
Milliseconds.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like when it stopped doing it in milliseconds, you're like, you know, using a sundial. It's like, okay.
It took a while.
Oh, yeah.
FaceTime and whatnot? No. Streaming?
Yeah.
No. We did have decent, you know, for the time, we had an okay download speed. I mean, you know, we get 7 or 8 megs down, but we had a data cap.
Oh, jeez.
So it was like,
well, how long does it take you at 7 or 8 megs?
Well, yeah, it took a while, but we still, you know, we would run out of data all the time every month, you know, and we would try to be conscious of it. So we couldn't, there was no, Netflix was just kind of getting going, you know, at that point. So there wasn't any of that, no YouTube, you know, we really reserved it just so our youngest could do his homework. He was the only one home. And so he could do his homework and then emails and stuff like that, because that's all we had. And that went until 2019. So it was 8 years. And in 2019, now we had started hearing about it 2 or 3 years before.
Isn't that the worst too? You know, like every month now.
DJ, we got a survey in the mail, like in 2015 or 16, something like that. I know, right? From our EMC, right? From our electric company, rural electric, you know, out here. So would you be interested in high speed internet? And it's like, did the sun come up this morning?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, exactly. The fact you had to mail this to me instead of emailing it to me should tell you.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. I would like that.
Yes. It was in the mail. So, yeah, so it was about 3 years, I think, 2 or 3 years before, and they hooked us up in the summer of 2019. So, yeah, I have a gig connection now up and down. I could get faster if I wanted it. I don't need it, but yeah, it's fiber all the way to the house. I mean, they did it right. It completely transformed how we live out here in Absolutely. Terms of everything, right? Entertainment and the whole nine yards, work. I mean, if COVID would have happened,
you immediately got smarter.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm not just busting you, but I am. But no, like, you may be like, hey, let's look that up. I can do it in 2 seconds, you know, instead of being like,
on my phone now.
Exactly. And like with the other version, you'd be like, hey, I don't even care to know. I don't want the frustration.
It doesn't matter.
Oh my God.
The cell phone service was really bad too. So we'd go, I bet. There was one place upstairs in the house that you could go to get decent cell phone service. So if you had to make a call or you wanted to make sure you stay connected through the entire phone call, you had to go upstairs and stand in the corner of one of the bedrooms to make sure that you had decent cell phone service.
Yep. I mean, I had that in this house when we first moved here. Yeah. I had when we were building the house, I had a stand in what is my son's bedroom in the, it's like the front of the house, front easternmost point of the house, right. And stand in the corner. And if I went to look out the window, the cell service dropped off.
Yeah.
And it's literally like the window's 2 feet away from the side, the easternmost wall.
It's crazy like, how narrow it can be.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I started building here that year in August. Mm-hmm. We moved in at the end of November, first week of December. Mm-hmm. In that time, they were literally putting up a cell tower in the next town over. Oh, so okay. We were actually getting, by the time we moved in, it was all cleared up. Luckily.
Yeah, luckily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it was insane. Like it was, and I tell you, after we were here for about 4 years and we started thinking, you know, we're going to move back to town, you know,
just for emails.
I started my job in the IT sector the year we moved out here. Jeez. I couldn't do anything remotely. I couldn't do anything. Right. So we seriously considered moving back to town. And then we were kind of, cause we loved being out here from, you know, the standpoint of being, you know, away from, sit in the town, you know, away from the city and whatnot.
Yeah.
But,
oh, I love it.
Yeah. You get it. Yeah. But we were seriously considering moving back to town because it's like, we have to, you know, it's just getting to the point where we have to have internet. This is ridiculous. And it was about that time, that REMC started, you know, talking that, hey, we may be thinking about doing something out there. So at that point it was like, okay, you know, let's drag our feet and let's wait and see if they do something. And of course they did. It took a little longer.
You'd be kicking yourself too. You'd move back and then you'd be like, now they got it.
Now they got it. No, that's exactly what we were afraid of.
Right.
And we bought, you know, at a really good time when we bought this house, and it's like, man, if, you know, if we sell and go to town now, we're going to,
You'd take a bath.
Yeah, financially, it's not going to be as good. So
let me ask you this.
Sure.
Would you have moved had you known? Because it sounds like when you moved, you were like, oh, crap. Like you said, like, I think you even said, like, you're bad. You didn't good check question. Into it.
100%. No, we would have kept looking. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, we would not have moved out here. Uh-uh. If somebody would have told me, hey, and the, like I said, my bad.
Bring your stone tablets.
Right. You know, yeah. But somebody's, you know, I asked the person that had lived here before, or the realtor, and I said, hey, how's the internet out there? And so, oh, we've got internet. It's fine. I'm like, okay. You know, my bad. There, you know.
Right.
There again. But, you know, I thought, I just couldn't imagine that we couldn't at least get DSL, you know? I said, well, at least get DSL. Of course, even if we had DSL today, that would still be terrible. But back then, you know, I thought it would be good enough. But to more relate it to, you know, what you asked earlier, I didn't have a Xbox or a PlayStation for years.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, I did buy one for my son when he got ready to go to college, years ago. And, you know, I would take it to town, hook it up at work, do all the updates, download the games that he wanted, bring it back out here, you know, so he could play. And then if it needed updated again, then I would load it up and take it back to town, you know, the next day. And so, but no, we didn't do anything. We didn't spend as much money on computer, you know, I mean, we had computers, obviously. You know, I had a Plex server that I put all my movies on, you know, so I could watch them, you know, around the house, but you know, and nothing else. I mean, nothing else. And you hear it really started getting bad, you know, 2016, 2017, you know, and people, oh, Netflix has got all these great shows. And have you guys watched this? And have you guys watched that? And it's like, yeah, we can't watch any of that.
You know? Could you download them at work and then bring them home and then, you know, download it that way?
Did that occasionally. Download it on your iPad or something. And then, do the screen mirroring with the Apple TV, you know, so you can watch it. We did a lot of, I felt like at that point I spent a lot of my time just trying to figure out how to still be involved with the world, but not have internet access.
Yeah.
You know, like you say, you download stuff at work, you know, you bring it home, you put it on a thumb drive, you bring it home. You know, turn off all the automatic updates on your phone and iPads and everything until you're in town, you know. You know, Tommy, our youngest, he would my mom would pick him up after school. He would stay at her house until he finished his homework because it was just so much easier.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was so difficult. I mean, we had internet, we could do some things, but it was just so slow and we were always bumping up against the data cap. It was really expensive too on top of that. So
The other thing is it's not like, it's one thing if the whole world is at that speed.
Right.
Right. Because if the whole world, and you know, this being in IT, but if the whole world is at that speed, everything is geared towards that speed.
Exactly.
Right. All the new apps, everything is geared knowing whatever the, you know, the speed is.
Yeah.
And
100%.
So you're literally running like a Model T with, you know, Ferrari programs coming at it. And you're like,
interstate. What? Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, why is everybody going by me? And we're like, what am I? I got the pedal to the metal, baby. I can't go any faster. And it's really frustrating, especially, I got to imagine for a kid, it's going to be really frustrating because you know what it's like away from the home.
Right.
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 And you're trying to do your homework and get your answers done. And I mean, it's tough. And I'm glad this is great to talk about. I haven't had anybody on like this, I know it exists. And I keep trying to tell people, they're like, oh, we got to do this and this. I'm like, you don't understand. It's like, I understand. Right. I appreciate it because I'm out here too. We've had it for a little while, but I also understand what it's like. And I know further out, is more like that. And there's still people in were in 19.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about 2019 and like your story sounds like the Dark Ages to what we deal with here now. Right.
When they said they were going to hook everybody up, they said, you know, all of our customers, if you get electric from us, you will have access to internet. And so everybody, you know, okay, fine. They said it'll be a 5-year plan. And of course, COVID hit, you know, a couple years later. So that's pushed that out further, I'm sure. They're still not done. So there's still people that have the same electric I do that just live in a different area on the other side of the county or whatever. They still don't have it. They're still waiting, you know, and that's not to talk bad about the co-op, you know, the electric company. I mean, the rural electric's doing everything they can, right? I mean, they're doing it as fast as they can.
Yeah.
I know a lot of those guys that work there, and, you know, so, I mean, I know they're, you know, they would love to have everybody hooked up, obviously, but, you know, it just takes time. I mean, they built everything from scratch. They could not get any of the larger internet service providers in the area. I don't want to throw out names, you know, on the podcast, but they could not get anyone to help them.
Right.
So they went to those providers in town and they said, look, we're going to run the lines. We own the poles. So we're going to run the lines. We want your internet service on top of it. Right. We don't want to be our own internet service. We right. want our customers to have internet, but we don't want to be the provider because we're not an internet provider. We're an electrical, you know.
Right. Product.
So we'll run the lines and you just go on, you know, and they wouldn't do it. They said, no, there's not enough people out there. It's not worth it. We're not going to do it. So they had to just start it up from scratch. They said, okay, I guess we're going to be the provider as well. So they not only were they running fiber lines everywhere, you know,
yeah.
They were also setting up an internet company and a new internet service provider, you know, from scratch. So they had to do everything from scratch. I think we got hooked up on this about 2 years after they started. So I think they must have started around 2017. And they sent out, once again, mailed out flyers and said, who's interested? And where they got the most response is where they started. And our little area out here, our township, just happened to be one of them that got the most response. So they hooked us up second. I think we were second to be the second area to be hooked up. But yeah, but like I said, some people are still waiting. They still don't have it. And yeah, you can't. It's hard to imagine for a lot of people that's just always had it, you know. And of course, the internet right. been around, you know, for so long now. A lot of people don't even remember before, you know, the internet. But
yeah,
but it's it completely changes. I mean, just everything. You know, you're watching TV. You're working. I said if COVID would have hit before they hooked us up, we would have had to have went to town. Our daughter lived in town at the time. And we would have had to have stayed at her house all day to work during COVID. That's the only way we could have done it. We couldn't have done it out here. So we would have had to have went and stayed at her house all day long and worked, you know, and without.
Yeah. And how many people did have to do that? That in your area, that, you know, you are the second area. So how many people, still had to deal with that? Probably still dealing with that. Yeah.
Right. Because in 2020, there was way less people hooked up then than there is now, you know, because they had. It all came to a screeching halt, right? They could still run the lines to the pole. And I think they would even bury it to your house, but they wouldn't come in the house, obviously, to hook it up. So a lot of people were sitting there with fiber rolled up
right to their doorstep. Yard.
Yeah. Yeah. They just couldn't come in the house to hook it up. So, it's crazy. Yeah. So, we've been on both sides. Yeah.
Yeah, when we moved out here, I had dial up in Franklin before I moved here, and that was in the 90s.
Okay.
And Franklin, about a year and a half, maybe 2 years before we moved, had gotten, you know, cable internet.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, oh, you got to get it. It's the greatest thing. I'm like, I'm moving out to the sticks. I know I'm going west. And they don't have it, and I don't want to experience cable and then go back and end up with dial up again, because that's even worse.
Even worse, yeah.
You're just more frustrated, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just live this way. And then when we moved, we came out here, and I was shocked. I'm like, when we first bought the land, it didn't have cable internet. But we bought the land probably 10 months before we moved in. And in that time, they had, you know, by the time we moved in, we had cable internet and everything. So my first experience with cable internet was here. But I didn't want to go backwards for sure. You don't want to do that.
No. And we had no idea. We never figured we'd be country people. You know, we didn't have any idea we'd be moving where we ended up. We're kind of spontaneous sometimes, and it was just like, hey, you know, I think it's time to leave. And it's like, yep, it is. So, you know, and when we found this house, and we loved the house, and it was like, I think this is it. And it was just
now, like, how far out are you from where you were, from the city you were in? Like how, like time wise?
So about 20 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, but
still 20 minutes away.
Where we are, that's a long way, you know? Right. Right.
Yeah.
Where we're at, 20 minutes puts you out in the middle of nowhere. You know what I mean? I mean, it's you know, I mean, time wise, it's not bad. The drive's not bad. I mean, all that was fine. It was like, I'll drive 15, 20 minutes, you know, to be isolated or, you know, to be out in the country and whatnot. And we've, you know, we're on 3.5 acres and, And, nice. You know, it's just, I was like, yeah, that's what we need to do. So when you ask earlier, if we had moved here, I say now, no, but then in 2011, when we were looking and it was like, wow, this is so nice. You know, we got all this ground, which to us was huge. You know, we used to living in town right next to people. Have been a difficult decision, but I still think we probably wouldn't have. I still think we probably would have kept looking, but you know.
Yeah, you keep looking to find a place literally down the street from there that had DSL.
Right. Right.
That's, you know.
Yeah. 100%. Or even we're kind of on top of a hill. And
okay. If ooh, we that's
lived,
nice.
Yeah. If we lived a little further down, we could have gotten the wireless internet from one of the surrounding you know, county or whatever. I knew a guy that he kind of started his own wireless internet company for the people that lived out here to shoot wireless internet to them because he didn't think that anybody would ever do, you know, fiber or anything out here. And I had him come over and look, and he's like, yeah, you got too many, you know, trees. It's like, you know, the woods is blocking. He's like, you just can't get to it. There's just no way to do it. He said, you couldn't put up a tower tall enough to get it, you know, without
right.
being over regulation. So he's like, yeah, you just can't get it. So people around us were getting wireless internet, which was pretty good. I mean, you know, they were getting 10, 12, 15 megs, you know, I mean, and no data cap and, you know, and everything. And we're still rocking the satellite, you know, because we couldn't get the wireless because we're blocked by it, you know, and it was like, oh man, yeah. You know, this is going from bad to worse, but yeah, it worked out in the end. So,
yeah. It's that's an amazing story though. I hadn't met anybody like that other than going through it literally sure. back many, many years ago,
sure.
you know, but to see and hear that it's still going on and talk to them, that's awesome.
Yeah. And it's not like we're, you know, we're not that remote. I mean, you know, we're an hour from Indianapolis, you know, an hour from Louisville, Kentucky. I mean, you know, we're not that remote, you know, but it's
right.
still, I mean, it's, yeah. And like I said, still not necessarily the area I live, but still customers, you know, of the co-op that still are waiting to be hooked up. So,
wow. Yeah. And it's, I mean, it is, it's a, it, it, they, it's a money thing. It's a priority yeah. thing. And I mean, we go through it out here when we lose power mm-hmm. and, you know, we'll have a big storm come through like a hurricane or something and you'll lose power for like a week. And I laugh at all the people getting upset. They're like, they need to get the power back on faster. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you don't think they're working fast enough? And they're like, they're not. I'm like, you do realize they're not getting paid right now,
right?
They make money right. off you using electricity right. when you're not using, it's not a rental thing. You're not renting the electricity per month. It
you're
goes by how much
monthly fee. Yeah.
Right. It's they want to get you powered back up. Well, then why aren't they doing it? Cause people yeah. get so aggravated and you're like, cause they're like uncomfortable now. And it's like, they're doing it as fast as they can. It's like, it behooves them to get you power ASAP.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, and people, I'm like, they're going as fast as they can, but they have to hit the places with the, like the most. Biggest pockets yeah. of people. You don't want to go. I mean, what a waste of time. Ooh, look, we got those two people serviced,
exactly.
but you've got like hundreds over here where yeah. you could have done the exact same job, connected one wire and connected like 500 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we got a tree down yeah. over here on a dead end road. That has services two people. Let's hit right. that.
Let's no. do that first.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah, no, nobody wants you hooked up more than they do, guaranteed.
Yeah. And yeah. that's one of the things about the house I'm going to. I have a long driveway and I'm going to have a pole in my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. I that scares because yeah. when that goes down,
right.
I am definitely the last person to get service because yeah. They've got to come and it happened to a buddy of mine here. Luckily, it wasn't during a major storm. He was mm-hmm. the only one. Mm-hmm. So it was like they came right out and fixed it. But believe me, I'm going to be servicing all the trees around there.
Right.
Like make it yeah. pruning, make it so everything, I don't want anything yeah. falling down on that.
Everything you can do. Yeah. I assume it's too far to bury it.
I don't know. A lot of times we did. That's just in the plans right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if I just want to get it through the town and see mm-hmm. what they say. They may tell us to bury it for all I know.
Right.
But, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, that would, yeah.
But yeah, so, but now that you're high flying with, what do you say? You got what, gig up and down?
Yeah.
You know, even here, I'm still at a gig up, but I've got like 40 megabytes upload, a gig download.
Your gig down and you're slower up. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's common.
But even getting to the 40 upload speed, mm-hmm. that was huge, because the one I had before, I was at like 200 and then it 10.
I know.
Yeah. Something like that. And you're like 210. Yeah. It's like, I remember I was down at John's a couple of years ago and I'm doing the speed tests on his, and he's got fiber and his is cranking at like 300. I'm like, wait a minute. They both go the same number.
Right.
He's like, yeah, why not? I'm like, geez.
Yeah. Well, so. And most people don't need as much upload, but
right. Yeah.
But you know, and years ago they always said that they would limit your upload to keep people from, you know, sharing music, you know, or when Napster was a big thing, you know, or whatnot. But
oh yeah, that was the '90s.
Used to charge people more, you know, for more upload, but that's what they said. Mm. So, but yeah, they when they started it, they said, so if you have the 500, you get 500 up and down, the gig up and down. And I think they have 2 gig now available actually, but I haven't, you know, looked into it, but I think they have 2 gig down, but the upload's still 1 gig. I don't think they give you 2 gig upload as well, but I haven't looked into it.
Well, you're in IT. How much does that really matter? Because they're still basing all the stuff coming in isn't based off of even a gig yet, because they know the average consumer doesn't have that.
No, I mean, if you go to download something, I mean, it's rare that I'll never see a gig down the speeds. You know, I'll never see that on a download unless I'm, you know, I don't know. I suppose if you did some kind of torrent, you know, legally, that, you know, you could see that because you're downloading from different, you know, places at the same time.
Right. And that's what Kaleidoscape's doing.
Is that what they do? They download from different servers at the same time to maximize.
It's got
to
be. Speed. It's got to be, because you literally get a gig.
Oh, do you really?
Download?
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a gig, whatever I have. So like, say you have a gig, I get like 9:30.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And if I open that thing up, because you can regulate it too, you could say only do 500. Right. And if you just open it up and let it go, everything in your house just goes like it's all digitally and stuff,
it
takes it all. So it has to be, now my imagination, talking to guys like yourself and stuff, it's not one download. You're downloading from multiple places coming in, and I would assume
that's how they're doing it. Yeah
because a single source probably isn't going to give you a gig over that distance. A single
probably
source.
Not. No. It's funny because when I used to have a desktop PC with the NVIDIA card and whatnot, the gaming card, and I would download stuff from NVIDIA, like their downloads were always really fast, you know, like, and it just, you know, and it was done. It's like, wow, I got, you know, like really fast speed on that. But then other things, and you figure too, even if you have gig internet, now I'm sure you're plugged in to do the podcast hardwired to your computer. And I hardwired my laptop for this, just to make sure, you know, most people's Wi-Fi is not going to be near that fast anyway. So now you can get Wi-Fi that fast. I don't want to say you can't, but most people, you know, if you just go to Walmart and grab a router, you know, and throw it in the house or something, a cheap one, you're not going to get that kind of speed anyway. But when you've got 10 devices all hitting the Wi-Fi at the same time, it's nice to have that gig pipeline, you know, coming in, even though
you're
dividing it up into smaller chunks, you know, for the Wi-Fi. So yeah, I laugh. I said, you know, we don't need a gig. Even I don't really need a gig, you know.
Right.
I mean, because it's just the wife and I now, because the kids are all grown and gone, you know. But we went without internet for so long here, when
splurge.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, when we first got hooked up, I picked the 500 meg. And it was this, the gig was the highest, and then they had 500 and I think maybe 250 and then 100. And then after about 6 or 8 months, they just shifted everything up. They got rid of the 100. The slowest was 200 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then so whatever you had, you got the one higher. So we automatically got moved to a gig, you know.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Paying the same price we were paying for the 500, and I just never changed it. You know, I mean,
right.
I could have went down back to 500, and it was like, I don't care. It's like we were out here for, like you say, for so long without internet. It's like, no, I'm good.
You know what else I like to do, though? And I just did this with Fubo. I read an article about, like, you know, I like to support these businesses too. Sure. Right. And show that, hey, we like this stuff. Right. Keep giving me more. Mm-hmm. Right. Especially if it's something you care about. We do it with physical media, of course, and we're trying to promote that. And I think it's working. I really do. I mean, you hear the rumors that Disney's going to be doing more, and there's another thing to tap there that they went away from for a little while. And I think it's because we've been purchasing physical media and it's still there.
Yeah.
That's a vote. That's our vote.
100%.
Right. Yeah, and it's the same. I think it's the same thing with any business, regardless of the electric companies or these cable companies, they're big business. Yeah. But they're still, it's a business.
It's a business.
And it's like, I mean, you got internet because you guys had the most votes, second most votes, right? Your that's flyers. Right. That's what it was.
That's right.
Yeah. They went where the money was.
That's right.
And if you keep asking, like, hey, do you want to upgrade to this? Sure. I'll take that. You know, if it's something you like. But now the phone company calls me, is like, we could redo this. And I'm like, nah, I did that so often. That one time I did it for so many years, said no, because I didn't like the solicitors.
Right.
But I actually went backward. I grandfathered myself into such a bad plan. Finally, because you know, when you get grandfathered into something, you always think it's better.
Always think it's better.
It's always better.
Gotta be.
I was in one for so long that I think it was my last, it might have been like the year before COVID. So it was 2019 in April. I went to Canada for a hockey tournament. Mm-hmm. And it was the last one I went to because they canceled the next year. But I got back and I'm like, what the hell? My international plan and all this was messed up. And I'm like, I thought this was taken care of. And the woman on the phone was fantastic. She's like, sir, you're in like the worst plan. I go, well, no, I should be grandfathered. I should be like, oh no, it's all changed. I go, I got unlimited minutes. She goes,
right.
Everybody does. I go, oh really? I go, I got unlimited minutes and no roaming. She's like, no roaming. She's like, nobody has, everybody's got that now.
Like, where did you get this?
I was like, I've been a member since 1993. She obviously, goes, I know, yeah. You're still on the same plan, you donkey.
They call it and want their plan back, right?
Yeah. And I was like, so I called my wife and I was like, oh my God, I just saved us like $150 a month. And I'm like, we got unlimited this and that. And it was like, all, you know, our data went to, the only thing that we lost was we did have like this outrageously unlimited data plan.
Okay.
Because they literally could not stop us. And it's probably why they, and the only people that tapped it out were our kids.
Sure.
So even the plan we went to, she's like, it's practically going to be unlimited, but you do have a benefit here with your data plan. Mm-hmm. But is it worth you the $150? I'm like, oh no.
Oh no. They'll live. No. Yeah. No.
Yeah. They're good. Yeah. They're good.
They're fine. They should be on Wi-Fi wherever they're at anyway.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and ever since then, I've just been like, and especially with this, like Dish Network, when I was with them, would you like to upgrade to? Absolutely. I used to call them and say, you're getting this new hardware. Can we schedule it? And the people would be like, what new hardware?
Right.
They didn't even know about it yet. And I was, because I was on top of it. Yeah. The Hopper, all of that. And then the Joeys and all the advanced. I love that. I love being on top of that stuff.
We had all that until after we got internet. And then we went with the stream, you know, YouTube TV is what we have now, but. But
yeah. I just did it. I have Fubo. I upgraded. I had the Elite plan, and I read an article that they were doing this and doing that, and I liked what they were doing and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, let me get the Premier plan. It was like another, you know, I think now I get everything. I am still paying less than I was paying with cable.
Well, it's so insane. It's so easy too, because if you decide you don't want that plan, you just log in and change it. You don't have to sit on the phone with somebody, you know, and go through all that. So it's to me, even if that's the benefit of it right there. I mean, if you want to cancel it for a couple months, just cancel it. It's no big deal. And then pick it back up when you're ready. I mean, it's so much.
Go over to another one. Like I have Sling. Mm-hmm. Originally I picked up Sling because that's, you don't get TNT on Fubo.
Right. Okay.
Which didn't bother me in the least till Christmas time came and I wanted to watch 24 hours of A Christmas Story.
Right.
And there I am on Christmas Eve signing up for Sling, logging in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I ended up keeping it. And then the following year, the NHL is on TNT.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I might as well. So now I have them both.
Yeah,
and again, it's still cheaper than what I was paying for Dish and all of, because you have to figure you still had to pay for Disney Plus because when I dropped Dish, it was when Disney Plus just came out.
Yeah. You still have all the stream. You still had all the streaming services. We still had Netflix. We still had Disney Plus, you know, we still
HBO.
Had HBO Max, Paramount Plus. Yep. I mean,
I had HBO. I had to get the streaming version of HBO because Dish had an issue that they were negotiating. Yeah. So they had dropped HBO.
Yes.
So I just picked up the stream and never looked back because it was the same price.
Right.
You know, if Dish was carrying it, it cost me $15.99 a month. Mm-hmm. If I get the stream, it's $15.99 a month.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. Yeah. And that's the other thing that's nice about, you know, cutting the cord and going to all streaming. You don't have to worry about anybody's negotiations.
That's right.
You just pick up the one that you want.
That's right. Yeah, HBO isn't going to negotiate with themselves. You don't have to worry about it going off.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And it's like, I used to see that with Dish all the time, and it's like, oh, they might drop this, and they might drop that, and then...
I think that's all of them nowadays, really, because we had DirecTV for the majority of the time when we were out here, and then the last couple years that we had any type of satellite TV service, we had Dish for 3 years or whatever the contract length was. We several times with DirecTV, even I can remember, you know, it's like you may lose your AMC channel or whatever, you know, due to negotiations. And it's just like, and of course, we didn't have internet, so we couldn't sign up for it and watch it. You know, it's like we had to watch whatever we got on the dish. So, And we're even far enough out, we can't get locals with an antenna.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you remember the old days when you put up the tower with the tuner and, you know, the motor on it, and you'd have to go turn the dial, you know. We would have had to have done the whole thing like that in order to pick up local channels. And of course, that's expensive now compared to, you know, what it was when we were kids. So we just never did it. You know, it's like, I don't want to do that. I mean, we just never did it. That was the only way we could have really gotten local channels. So if the dish was out or negotiating with the channel, you know, or whatever, then we just didn't get it. I mean, we had no way to watch it. So.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. I think it's funny listening to people. They like back then it's like, why can't I just pick and choose what I want to watch? And now all you hear is, why can't they just give us everything?
Why can't
just they give us one price and just give us everything? And you're like,
you had that before.
Right. And you're never going to save money.
No.
They're in business to make money. Right. It's like, it's like at least the a la carte way, even if it costs you the same, you're not saving any money, but you're getting exactly what you want.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. You're not sitting there watching a bunch like, what's all this crap? I don't even want this. And everybody thinks that when you get rid of that, that's going to save you money. No, that's all the free stuff that comes with it anyway to make it look more flowery and tell you you've got 500 channels.
They make them take that when they sign the contract.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
If you want this channel, you have to take these other 10. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's better just, though, because like you say, it's more tailored to what you want. And, and if there's nothing on Disney Plus, you know, using that as an example, you just cancel it, you know, for a month or so until there's something on there that you want, you know, you want to watch. And
right.
So at least you have that ability now to do that easily, you know, without being locked into a contract or, you know, having to be on the phone for an extended period of time trying to cancel. So.
Right. And a place like Disney Plus and stuff, I forget. What is their monthly now?
It went up. Is it
7,
11?
$9? Is it 11 now? I don't know. I don't know. All three of them.
Don't quote me, but I was thinking they went up to 11, but that could have been one of the others, but I don't know that for sure. But
yeah, they're still trying to keep it. I think they're still trying to keep it in a place that, all right, it's only 11, you know, so 11. You still have that mentality of like, I could drop it, but.
$11. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever. I'll just keep it.
For guys like us, if you want to watch The Avengers, just as an example, you're not going to watch it on Disney Plus.
No.
You're either going to, well, you yourself are going to watch it on your Kaleidoscape.
Yeah.
But like, I'm going to go grab the disc, the 4K disc, and put it in the player, you know? So.
Yeah, we want the best possible quality.
Yeah.
And it's. And so
We're but probably the majority, not a good demographic form.
No, we're a great demographic for physical media.
Right,
but exactly. But we are also getting Disney Plus because they're putting shows on. Because
we want to watch Mandalorian,
Right, and that's the only reason I'm watching. That's the only reason I have Disney Plus.
Same here.
And it's even if they start dropping it physically like a year later or six months after, I'd still watch it live.
Yes.
And then I'll watch it. Because I like to do that. I like to compare, you know. I'll
buy the disc when it comes out, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. Most of the, I shouldn't say most, but I mean, a lot of the hardcore fans, whether they're Star Wars or Marvel or whatever, you know, they're going to buy those discs just because they want them in their collection. You know, I mean, I see people on YouTube and the social media, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, you know, they own Laserdisc.
Yeah.
They weren't even born when Laserdisc players were being sold, you know? I mean, they probably never seen the player other than just in pictures, you know?
Right.
And that's not a knock against them. That's just the way it is. But they still have
Mike Schramm did that.
Did he? Yeah.
Yes. I'm pretty sure it was Mike Schramm. Yeah. Mike Schramm. Right. He bought some Laserdiscs. Because he doesn't have a player, but they do look cool.
They do,
you can hang them up and display them. And I mean, it's a part of, you know, home theater history. So people especially are doing that.
Us. Yeah. that was the first Laserdisc I got when I bought my Laserdisc player.
Star Wars.
Was it, I'm blank. Sorry. Were you mail in and you'd get like three for $10 or whatever, and then you had to buy like two more.
Yeah, Columbia House.
Columbia House, yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
They did that for Laserdisc at one point.
Really?
Well, yeah.
I don't think I was a part of that. I would have mailed in my nickel.
I know, right? And I had the original trilogy, you know.
Yeah.
That was the first three I got. That was when I got
I have the same three.
Yeah.
And they have the bars, the bluer bar at the top for Star Wars. I think one was red and the other was
widescreen or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I that. And then we upgraded a few years later to the definitive collection.
Yeah. In the box. The box set.
Yeah.
Yep.
The big box.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. I have that.
Yeah.
I have the originals. I also have the originals before. All right. I must still have them. There was a version of Star Wars even before that, before the widescreen nicer ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
That version.
I never had those, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to picture the covers were different. They weren't as like modern for the 90s.
And they were probably pan and scan as well, too, weren't they?
They may have been. Yeah.
It might have been.
I forget. It's, yeah. It's
my, that was my first introduction to widescreen, because the yeah. store that I ended up working for several years, before I started working for him, I was in there looking at speakers, you know, and they were playing Return of the Jedi on the big screens, and I was standing there watching it, waiting on someone to go look at, I think they went to see if they had something in stock for me. And the guy that owned the store come up and he goes, "What do you think about that?" I said, "Oh, I love the big screens." I said, "That's great." But I said, "I don't understand why there's black at the top and the bottom of the picture. It's like, I don't, you know," and I was a kid, right? I mean, I was probably 18 at the time, 17, 18. And he said, "Oh, well, that's," he explained the whole thing to me, right? And I was like, "Wait, okay. So you're telling me I've been watching Star Wars all these years and I'm missing part of the picture?" And he's, "Yeah." And it just so happened there was a scene playing, and I had always heard the sound over the years, but never seen what was happening. And when I was sitting there watching it, I saw it happen, and it happened on the very far left of the picture.
Right.
And I was like, "Wow, he's right." Of course, I knew he was, you know, I mean, but it's like,
yeah, yeah. He's not lying to you.
Right, right. And him and I ended up becoming really good friends, actually, after years later, but when I worked there, but I'm like, "Wow, he's okay. So how do I get this?" He said, "Well, you need a laser disc player."
Yeah.
And I was like, "What's that?" He said, "Well, they look like records, but they play movies." I said, "Are they better?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, the quality's way better than VHS." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I need one. Where's that at? I need one of those." So,
yeah,
you know, of course you had to save for it, you know, back then I couldn't get it right away. But yeah, that was my whole introduction into the widescreen thing was Return of the Jedi, when I was sitting there watching it. I said, "If you're telling me that I'm watching Star Wars, but I'm missing half the picture, then that needs to change, right? Like, I'm going to have to change that." So, yeah. But
yeah, yeah. That's one of the, in my original open on YouTube, I had the movies play. I had Star Wars clip, a picture of it. Then I had the Terminator on there.
Okay.
The clip from the movie, just a screenshot of it. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there's to the beat. There was a of the, of Die Hard.
Right.
And it's the scene of them opening up the vault.
Okay. Yeah.
And the reason that was in the opening, those are my three foundation movies, if you will, of home theater. Right. But that particular scene was used in the early 90s from Die Hard. It was used to display what you're missing if you're not using widescreen.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Because if you remember that scene as they open the vault, it's like, I think Hans is on the far left. He might be in the middle, but anyways, it's three characters, and one's on each on the far sides, and then one's in the middle. And in pan and scan, you could only get two.
Yeah.
And what they did is they just boom, boom, and they would either, some movies they would actually pan across, other movies they would do a jump cut, and then they would show the other side of it. Mm-hmm. But they were showing you, this is what you're supposed to see. Yeah. Here is what you're actually seeing. And you're like, there's a whole person missing. Right. And I used to display that for people, and they're like, "Yeah, but my top of my TV looks horrible now. And I don't like that."
How many people did you show that to that cared?
Oh my God. Nobody still looking for the first.
I know. Right. Yeah.
Right. It's like, cause nowadays but now we're going the other way around. True. Now you've got people with the 240, 235 screens, and they're like, "Stop making it tall." Right. It's like, oh my God. It's just like the a la carte or all at once on cable. It's like, you're always like, what are you doing?
I know. You got, yeah. Yeah.
Well, the thing that makes me laugh about the 240 people that complain, they're the outlier. Back with 4x3,
yes, I understand that. Yeah,
we had no choice, right? You had a 4x3 TV. We actually bought the content to fit to the television because that's the way it was in the movies. But a 240 screen or a 235 screen that you purchased yourself, knowing most content is in 16:9, And then when a movie comes out in 16.9 or 185, you're like, why do they do it? And we're like, right. You bought it.
You bought it. Yeah. Don't complain. Like, yeah.
Don't complain. You bought it and live what you knew. Did you not know this was going to happen? It's like, I don't know. I'm like, I might get one someday and that's fine. You got to live with the, you know, the pros and cons, yeah. But
yeah, I mean, when I set this room up, you know, it's a attic room. It's above the garage. Mm-hmm. So I've got 5.5 foot knee walls and then the ceiling slopes. It angles up to, you know.
Yep.
So if I wanted to get the width that I wanted, I had to do the 2.35.
Yeah.
You know, if I would have done the 16x9, I wouldn't have had any
as wide.
Right. It wouldn't have been as wide. I wouldn't have had any place for the center channel. Yep. And well, I mean, I have the acoustically transparent screen. It's kind of a long story, but yeah, I've got that, you know, the speakers behind the screen right now.
Yeah.
That's just what I'm going to have to do, you know, to make it work in here. So that's what I, you know, I said, I'll live with that. I'll live with the 16x9 content being a little smaller so I can have the bigger, you know, the wider content be bigger. So, and, and I knew that when I set it up. I mean, it's every room's a compromise of something. I mean, or many compromises stacked on top of each other. Right. I mean,
right. And it's, and that's exactly it. It's like your screen shouldn't be dictated by the movies. It shouldn't be dictated by aesthetics. It should be dictated by how wide can you go and how tall can you go?
And that's what I did. The room's 14 feet wide. I wanted 2 feet on each side. So I figured I ended up with about 10-foot wide screen.
Right.
Yeah. That's really, that's why I laid it out the way I did.
Yeah. And if you went, you can't go any, if for you to now go higher to make that same width, a 16.9, you're out of room.
Exactly.
Right. That's exactly why you go wider. Exactly. And that's, to me, it's like, what makes me laugh is when you see people with a 240 and they have a ton of space above and below.
Right.
Yeah. And be like, you know, you could have that exact same screen 100%. That you have right now. With masking,
right?
You could have a 16.9 screen and then mask the top and bottom off, and you would have the screen you have right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't want that. Blah, blah. I'm like, no, that's not real. I'm like, no, that's exactly what you have.
Exactly what you have.
Right. And it just my room right now, when I put my masking up, that's the 240 screen I could afford in that room for that width. And in the next room, it's the same thing. It's like, I'm going to go as wide as I can. And then I'm hoping I can get as tall as I can. Sure. And that's it.
And I read, you know, I mean, you see some of those people sometimes and on the forums or whatnot. And it's like, you know, if you go to the theater, they mask the screen too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're not masking the screen as well. You know, I mean, whatever movie they're showing, I mean, you're not doing anything different in your own home.
It is easier to mask vertically though, because you can do curtains, you can do like if you're gonna do the top and the bottom, you've got to kind of finagle that and get to, especially that top one, right?
It's harder to do. Yeah,
it's a little harder to do, but I mean, it can be done. I mean, I did it here, I'll do it in my next place. You know, but it is a little bit easier to do vertical. But then you're gonna have to admit that, you know, your 16.9 that's supposed to be IMAX, that is supposed to be taller, is now going to be smaller.
It is. Yeah, it is. And when I watched Top Gun Maverick, I actually cropped it on my projector.
Yeah.
I actually did the,
I did it too.
Mask it. Yeah. On the
projector. I tried it.
So it wouldn't, you know, jump back and forth, you know, because I mean, I have, a black velvet, you know, around the screen, but it's, and it absorbs a lot of light, but not 100%. I mean, you know, you can still see that it's projecting on above and below it. So I just did the, what do they call that on the projector? There's a name for it in the menu that
I forget what it is. Todd's the one that told me about it. Todd Anderson from AV Nirvana. He's the one we were talking about Maverick, and he had done it with his projector. Right. His JVC.
That's probably where I got the idea to do it, because I remember thinking I heard it somewhere, you know, I thought, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Just do it on the projector. Yeah.
Right. And right after that, like that night, my Sony can't do it, but the Lumigen can.
Okay.
And I'm like, damn,
right.
I love that. So now I'm not a big fan of variable aspect ratio.
I'm not either. No.
I mean, I said it before pick Top Gun. One. I pick one and right. stay with that.
Meet the exactly.
And I get it. I mean, people like Steve George loves it, but does he's also coming from, yeah, he's coming. He has a he doesn't have an OLED, but he has a regular display that's got great black levels.
Sure.
Projector owners are like, black bars are the death of you, because you're like, it's so much better when you can mask it off and have that deep black.
There's a big difference. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot nicer. So I like to have that, you know, stagnant, I call it, aspect ratio.
Right.
And so when I did that, I was like, I did it for now. Top Gun, I actually do like in the variable aspect ratio. It really sucks you right in. It's like when they jump cut to that and you're like, mm-hmm. boom, whoa, that's wow. pretty cool. Yeah. That's cool. One of the few movies I actually liked it. Mm-hmm. But I did watch it with the masking on. I masked it out just like you're doing and like Todd did. Mm-hmm. And watching Top Gun, I'm like, that's the way I saw it in the theater too. When I saw it in the theater, it was in a 240, 235 scope screen, and it looked great. As a matter of fact, I said online, I was saying on Twitter before Maverick came out at home, I'm like, I hope they go that way. And I did screenshots of like the way the cinematography of the wingspan looked mm-hmm. great that way. I was like, no, I do not want variable aspect ratio. And I was wrong. I'm like, that looked great. I think that's the one that I actually do like the variable.
Yeah.
But I went Aquaman, not a big fan of the variable aspect ratio in that because it's too jumpy and stuff. So I did it with the masking and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this looks, I love it. It's just, I hit a button and goes, bam, I just lock it in and it's, there you go.
I think for me, it's probably a lot of it's mental as well because you know, you never really saw that in the theater. Like when we went to the theater, you know, and when we were young and impressionable, you know, they weren't jumping aspect ratios, you know, that wasn't a thing that you got at the theater. So I'm sure a lot of it for me is just mental, you know, when I see it happen, it's like, hey, that's not theatrical, you know?
Right.
But
I think the Dark Knight was the first one I knew of at home.
That might have been the first one, yeah.
Yeah, and that was like, it was neat, and you're like, oh, look at that, all right. And then after a while, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the thing, I just watched that recently. Just watched all those Christopher Nolan Batman movies a few months ago. And the thing that stands out to me with The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises, well, especially The Dark Knight, there's such a quality difference between the IMAX scenes and the rest of the movie. That it's not so much the aspect ratio that bothers me, because I didn't think about doing the masking with the projector. I just threw the disc in, you know, and started watching it. And then I realized, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't go in and mask it off. It's like, it's fine, whatever. You know, I mean, I'm not going to stop now in the middle of the movie and do it. But the thing that always got me is there's such a quality difference between when he filmed with the IMAX cameras and then just the regular, you know, whatever camera he used when he wasn't using IMAX. And that kind of throws me out of it sometimes, you know, sometimes when I'm watching it, but that's really the only movie I've noticed that in. So.
Yeah, probably because it was fairly new, but yeah, you're right. Like the IMAX cameras were,
I mean, that opening scene looks fantastic. I mean, in The Dark Knight, I mean, it's incredible. And I don't have, you know, I mean, I have a decent projector, but I got an Epson 5040.
Yeah.
You know, so it's getting some age on it, but man, that opening scene is amazing. I mean, it looks incredible, but as soon as it switches, you know, and I don't remember exactly where it switches, you know, away from it. I assume when the bank robbery scene's over.
Yeah.
Boy, as soon as it switches, you're like, ooh, okay.
This is what
the rest of the movie's going to look like.
Yeah, it's not as detailed. It's not as crisp. And you're just like, okay.
It's a big, it's a big difference. But, and I, like I said, I haven't really noticed that in as many or other movies. Of course, I think I'm a lot pickier with movies that I really enjoy, you know, like The Dark Knight, you know, I love those movies. And, you know, so I'm probably watching those more with a critical eye than if I'm just watching something, you know. But
right. Yeah, it's when you watch them over and over like that too. That's mm-hmm. that's what really like, oh, I didn't notice that before. And that, you know, it's yeah. like I want to say when I first got that one, The Dark Knight, I'm not even sure if I noticed the variable aspect ratios right away.
Mm.
I know I didn't have masking at the time. I hadn't built my masking yet. Right. And so it wasn't a big deal to me either way. I was like, oh, and then it might have been like a second viewing or I saw something. I'm like, oh, that's got variable aspect ratio. I'm like, yeah. oh, let me try that out. Let me see. Oh, yeah, it does. Look at yeah. that. You know, you're like, you know, I was just excited for the sights and sound. I'm like, oh, look at my room. I love this movie.
right.
I think, and I've said this before, I think Transformers was actually, did that come out with the variable aspect rate, the Walmart special one?
So
where they had that battle scene.
The original, the first Transformers movie?
I think it was where... Don't if it's that. Not the first, it might have been the second, but Optimus and Megatron battle in like the forest and they have a big and they roll down the side of a mountain or something or some trees like a hill. But it's a battle in the middle of the movie that does open to the variable aspect ratio to the large screen IMAX view. And I remember going specifically to Walmart the day it came out. I read about it online. I'm like, what the? And I'm like, and it was only on the Walmart discs. And I've talked about this in the past on the podcast, and people have written me, yeah, it was this one, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
I'm not familiar with those, but.
Yeah. And so that one was, that was pretty cool, gimmicky, but it's still, it sold some discs, did for me.
One of those Transformers movies, and it's one of the with Mark Wahlberg, I believe.
One of the second round.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I can't remember if it's the last one with him or the one before that, because he's been in two, correct?
I think so.
Yeah. It opens up with many different aspect ratios.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
I don't remember. They all blend to me.
Oh, I just remember it because I honestly thought there had to have been something wrong with, you know, whatever I was watching it on at the time. When I was still going to work every day, or, you know, before I started working from home, there was a Redbox right next door. So sometimes, you know, I'd rent a lot of stuff from the Redbox and then just take it back the next day. And so I could have watched it from there. But I just remember thinking, oh, okay, we're going to do the 16:9, you know, the 1.78. We're not doing the 2.35 like the other Transformers movies. And then it switched, and I'm like, oh, okay, so we're gonna switch. And then it switched to in between, and then it switched to another one. I thought, man, there is something. Right? It was driving me crazy. It's like there is something wrong here. And I looked it up. I paused the movie and looked it up online, and sure enough, you know, I found several people going, hey, did your guys' Transformers disc like switch in aspect ratios like crazy at the beginning? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's supposed to be that way. They're all that way.
Like, yeah.
No.
It worked. It worked. Have you seen Everything Everywhere All at Once?
I have not. I haven't seen
it. Okay. It worked in that one. That's another one where the variable aspect ratio works. But that's a multiverse type movie. So it's actually each aspect ratio actually means something.
Okay.
So it actually works in that movie. You know,
use it to tell it. Yeah. I mean, if they're using it as a story element, I mean, that's different.
Right.
You know, yeah, that's different. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise. Yeah. It's good.
Is really? It? It's, yeah. I need to. It's just one of those things. I just haven't taken the time yet to do it. But
yeah.
But I definitely.
It's a good one. It's a great home theater movie too. Great home theater movie. So,
well, I've definitely been watching more movies lately than I have, you know, since I got the room finished. So,
how long's it been finished?
So, so I finished it in November, October, I think, somewhere in there last year. I have to look it up because I started keeping track of everything I watched when I finished the room.
Nice.
Yeah. So I thought I'm going to do the Letterboxd, you know, because I've had people tell me, you know, you ought to do Letterboxd and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, okay, I'll start with when I finish the room, right? When I get, of course, it's never really finished, you know, I mean, it's functional.
Yeah. You're using it. Yeah, right. Exactly. It's you're using functional. It.
So I've been keeping track on there so I could go back and look, but yeah, somewhere, I think October, beginning of October, somewhere in there. is when I got it done. And I had the, I had my theater, my projector, my older projector, I had it in this room for a while. And then I was talking about, you know, and I really want to pull some wires and, you know, cause I just had the speaker wires running on the floor and, you know, and it's like, I really kind of want to do the whole dedicated room. And I toyed around with that for a long time. And of course it was really, you know, as you know, when the kids are grown and gone, then you have more time to think and do things that maybe you want to do rather than, you know, running, sitting at ball games all, you know, every evening. But
yeah, exactly.
It's a little different, a little different.
Yeah. A little more money, a little more time.
Yeah. It's a little, yeah. It's a little hard to get used to, but yeah.
It's nice though.
It is nice. It is nice. Yeah. It's different, but it is nice. So anyway, I just gutted the room, you know, I thought, well, I could try to do this or try to do that or whatever. And we had, like, this room was really cold. It's above the garage. I thought, well, they probably didn't insulate it quite the way they were supposed to, you know, and it was like, I'm just going to gut it, you know, like, and the house we lived in before when we lived in town was an old house. So, I mean, you know, we remodeled it when we lived there, you know, over the course of the 15 years or whatever. So I'm unfortunately no stranger to that. This house doesn't have plaster and lath though. So that's a big, you know?
Yeah. There you go.
So, man, I'm too old for that now. I don't think I could do that anymore. Tear that out. So I gutted it. And then, you know, the biggest problem, I had some health issues, at the very beginning of 2020, right before COVID.
I was going to say, a lot of people did that year.
Yeah.
But you had it before COVID.
I got the double whammy right there, you know, before COVID and then COVID right on top of it. But, so I kind of, and I wasn't sure what to do, you know, it's like, I didn't know if I wanted to go all out or if I just wanted to, you know, so that took a while to figure out. So yeah, it took me, once I started working on it, it took me about a year, you know, to get it back. You know, and the only thing that I didn't do myself is a drywall.
Oh,
and I had to help do the drywall, but a good friend of ours does drywall.
Okay.
And he said, hey, I'll do it for you. He said, I don't really do it, you know, for too many people anymore, but he said, I'll help you. He said, I'll do it. But he said, you got to help me. He said, I can't do it myself. Of course, it's all 5/8 up here, you know, because it's
yeah,
center, you know, and stuff. And I said, okay, I'll help you. So I had to help do the drywall, but I didn't have to do it myself, you know, because I can hang drywall, but I cannot tape it. So, and I won't try. I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of doing that now at my daughter's.
Oh.
That's what I do. It's not so bad now. I had about 2 months where we did a complete remodel of half the house where I had, and they couldn't live in it until I was done. So I was literally like 2 months, every extra minute was there. Now I just do Saturdays after, like I work Saturdays and then I'll go there and I'll do the next step. And I'm like, so like this Saturday when I go there, I'm doing my second round of, you know, joint compound. And then I'll be then the following weekend, I'll do the first round of skim coating and then the final round of skim coating. I'm like, I'll do my theater, but I told my wife, I'm like, I am not doing this in the house. I don't care. I'm like, it's not worth it to me. I don't care what they charge. Actually, that's not fair. I did say, I'm like, if it'll save me like 10 grand in labor, I'll do it.
You'll do it.
10 grand's a lot of money, right?
Well, and it may be that much, DJ, nowadays. I mean,
in labor, I don't know. Cause they bang that stuff out in like a week.
I'll tell you though, I got a quote because I didn't want any part of it. By the time I got to the drywall part, you know, I'd running all the electric and the wires and, you know, and all that stuff. And I wanted no part of it because I knew we were going to have to carry that drywall up the stairs. 5/8, you know, 40 sheet, whatever it ended up being. And I thought I'm down. So we got a quote, from a couple different local people, and this room is 14 by 24.
Okay.
And it's 8 foot ceiling in the middle. You know, like I said, it's got the angle, but it's, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah.
14 by 24. And it was, I want to say both of the quotes came in around $3,500, $3,800. Yeah. I mean, for, you know, and half that's labor. I mean, so it was, I think it was almost $2,000 in labor. And
yeah,
maybe that's what it cost. You know, I mean, I don't know. And I could be off. I may not be remembering it correctly, but I know it was enough. And it was kind of like, well, maybe I will, you know.
Yeah.
Let's call our buddy and see if he'll, you know, and he was like, yeah, I'll help you. So, you know, it you know, obviously, and he's good. I mean, you know, he does, that's what he does. So, but yeah, it was enough to where I was kind of like, okay, I'll do it. You know, I'll help him.
Yeah.
Like, and I wanted no part of it at first. I'm like, nope, hiring it out, going to be done. Nope, not doing it. You know?
Yeah. I just don't want to lug it. I'm not even, my whole house is single floor, so I'm not worried about going upstairs. So it's just bring it right in. But yeah, lugging that crap around. And the other thing is, and the other reason I said, I'm like, if when you're doing a new home, it's usually a little bit, it's a larger project, so this, it scales down the labor because they just come in and bang it out. Right. It's not like you're not working around other things. And that's the thing doing like my daughter's house. It's a pre-existing house.
Oh, okay.
So we had to take out stuff and remodel stuff and do stuff. I had to build walls. I had to frame this. I had to do that and then put that up. Even as bad as that was, doing my new house won't be as bad because you just put a big stack of it in the middle of the room, which is all just wood anyway. You're right. It's brand new. You just throw everything. You just throw it up. And that's what they do. It goes a little faster.
Yeah. I've been in that old, like I said, the house before was an old house and the tear it out, redo it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a different dynamic when you're doing that for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As opposed to new construction goes a little bit quicker. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, so what have you been watching?
Oh,
it's since October, since the fall.
So I jokingly have told several people that I think I built the theater so I could watch old movies because that seems to be primarily what I watch, right? Because just going through my disc collection. And like the Batman movies, like, oh, I haven't watched those in the theater yet. So I have to watch those. Right. So we're going to watch those. And of course I watched Star Wars, you know, last week around the May the 4th.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't watch that many newer movies. Because I think just because I've been busy watching, you know, just pulling stuff off the shelf and I had this projector hooked up in a different room, you know, before I finished this room, but you know, it was a much smaller screen. It wasn't that, as you know, a lot of it is the atmosphere, you know,
that
you create. And it just wasn't the same. So I've been really enjoying, I'm still in the honeymoon period, you know, like this room, you know, like still watching, but you know, as you sit in here and you think, you know, I could probably do this. Or I could probably do that. You know, like I built the spandex screen, right? I thought I'm just going to do the screen. It's going to be temporary because I wasn't exactly sure the size that I wanted. And that was, and there was, oh, I'll just hang some blackout cloth up or whatever. And it's like, I don't want to do that for an extended period of time, you know, because it's hard to get it flat. And I'm OCD about too many things, as my wife could tell you. But so I thought, I'm going to build the screen. Like I'm going to go ahead. Everybody raved about how great the spandex was, you know, and whatnot. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. So I did, and I built it, you know, the size that I thought I wanted. And I thought, well, I'll have it for a month or so, and then I'll decide what kind of screen I want to go with. And it's still here. it's still.
If it's working, you know, it makes it hard to upgrade or change when you're like, it's working great. How much am I going to, how much more is it going to improve?
So much of it is just, I think for all of us is you just enjoy like speakers would be one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy that research process.
Yeah.
You know, and screens kind of the same thing. Although screens are a little bit easier because at least they can send you samples. So you can at least get an idea of what it'll look like, you know, rather with a speaker, you're trying to read how it sounds.
See, now I'm going to push back on that.
Okay.
I don't get that. You're not picking paint colors.
Oh.
So why are we sending? I don't understand it. I don't understand why they send you a swatch of something, probably the biggest thing you're going to put up in the room.
Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
They send you a swatch and you go, yeah, that looks nice. It's not how it looks in your hand. It's how the image looks.
Well, yeah.
When you're watching it, this isn't a, you know what I mean? It's like
100%.
Now, do you take that swatch and hold it up to your projector and go, wow, look at what that does? Because that's not even indicative of what you're dealing with.
I would say it gives you an idea. It does. So I got a couple 8.5 by 11, right? You know, is what they send you. They are 8 by 11, whatever. It's inches. Not very big. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like 8.5 by 11. No,
and that's big.
It is.
I've seen smaller. I've seen like,
like
4 by 6 or 5 by 4, you know, and you're like, and they got the like ridged corners. So you don't use it on anything else. Yeah. It's a screen. What are you going to do? Tile it together?
You call all your friends and tell, you know, can you call, email this company?
Everybody get a swatch.
You want a swatch. We'll,
yeah.
So you kind of, you know.
We'll build a quilted screen. Like, what the hell? Jesus.
So my experience with this, no, I get you. This is the first time I'd ever gotten samples from a screen because I'd always used blackout cloth before, mm-hmm. you know, which worked really well for what it is. And I stuck it up there, you know, on my spandex screen. And even with the smaller samples, you can tell a big difference.
Like how?
So
is it brighter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's so much
you're getting
brighter.
Better reflection. Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And, you know, spandex, I think people have measured those screens to be roughly maybe 0.6 gain, roughly. And
that's really?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
bright. No, that's yeah. That's below. That's I'm sorry. Below. Right, yeah, right, right. Yeah. That's below. So you're losing light because it's literally probably going right through it.
It is. Because, yeah, exactly. And of course, that's very dependent. Nobody talks about this a whole lot, but that's very dependent on how tight you stretch it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you're opening the holes.
Right.
You're opening the light source. Now the light source can go right through. Like anything, any materials, any cloth is like that.
And I've enjoyed this. I think it looks good, but it is too dim, you know, on a lot mm-hmm. of stuff, especially on my projector to put it in the HDR into the wider color gamut.
Mm-hmm.
It drops a filter in front of it, right? Mm-hmm. Internally. So it reduces the light output by 30% or something.
Mm-hmm.
So couple that with the spandex screen that's already dark anyway, and it's just too dark. So that was really the big push, you know, I need to do something different. And even having just those small,
swatches,
you know, swatches. Yeah. Yep. Put them up there. I'm going to use Star Wars again. Cause you know, like you always say, when you get a new speaker, when you get a new amp, you know, what's the first thing you listen to? Star Wars. I mean, you know, and that's the first thing I put in, right? When I want to see how something looks.
Yep.
So Return of the Jedi in the beginning, when you first see R2 and 3PO and they're walking towards Jabba's palace, the sky was just in the desert. You know, I mean, it was a huge difference. Even in that small section, it's like, wow, look how much brighter it is compared to the spandex screen. And that's really my only complaint. I don't have a complaint from an acoustical standpoint because the speakers sound fine, you know, behind it. I see no texture, and I can see why it's insanely popular in some circles because it is really good for the money. I mean, I mm-hmm. would never, you know, it is really good, but you know, it's too dark for me.
Yeah. So, you're squelching your dynamic range 100%. A little bit. Yeah. And you're going to lose. What's funny is going to a traditional screen with, you know, or even an acoustically transparent traditional screen. If you go in that direction, your the gain that you're getting, it's going to raise your black levels, but it's I would be willing to bet you're not going to notice it because it's going to raise your bright so much mm-hmm. that your perceived black level, it's going to make your black levels actually seem darker.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's not how, well, especially in a projector situation,
right?
It's not how dark your projector can get. It's how bright and dark it can get at the same time in those particular scenes, because even the darkest projector, it's still not going to complete black.
Right.
But what gives you that good black is, or that perceived good black, is being able to go to really bright scenes in mm-hmm. or bright parts of the scene to open your eyes a little bit, so that now your irises open up and now close.
Yeah.
Wrong direction. Yeah. They close and you're like, that black level looks even darker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you would like that. But when I mean like with the swatches and stuff, it's like when you're getting into like all of the higher end screens and you're like, there's such a fine detail that like, and it's not even about, it's about how that screen is going to be reflect. Cause some screens, different gains do different things. The further out on the screen it goes, you can get hot spotting with a different type of screen. You can get all of these things go on that I'm like, when you're getting in now in your situation, you're going literally from not a traditional screen to a traditional screen. So of course that's going to really work out for you. But yeah, go into the swatches. I'm like, you can read about what each level does and what it's going to do in your room. And I guess to be able to see it and go, yeah, look at that. It's brighter.
Well, and I think what the representative from the company, you know, that I ordered the sample from, and he said, you know, I'll send you these samples and you can, if you can see the weave, you know, because they recommend, you know, so far back, you know,
right,
for this screen and, you know, and different. I said, okay, fine. And I'm right at like 11 and a half feet from my screen.
Nice.
And he said, you're kind of right on the bubble, you know, of where you may want to go with the finer weave, but it's not as bright as the other one. I said, okay. So that's very difficult to tell with a this big, you know, when you're sitting 11 and a half feet away. So I told my wife the other day when she asked me about it, she said, what'd you think? And I said, well, you know, explain to her. But I said, you can DIY their screens. They sell the material separately.
Yeah.
Well, I said, I wonder if I can just order like a yard.
Yeah.
And then put that up there. So at least that'll give me, you know, something big enough to where I could really see, you know, if, because I would rather do that than be out the money, you know, order the screen. And when you actually get the whole screen, instead of just like you say, a smaller one, part of it, and then we go, oh, I can really see that weave, and you know, then have
to
decide if I want to just get a different screen or push the chairs back further or, you know, whatever. So I may go that route and try to order just a little, you know, a section of it.
Right.
And I don't, you know, you wouldn't be out a ton of money by doing that.
It might be a worthwhile investment to get the knowledge of being able to see, because the last thing you want to do is you buy something off of a swatch, you get the thing up there, and then you get either hot spotting or you get some wiring going on or what, and it's you're like, this isn't what I expected, but you're like, but then at the same time you're like,
it's mine now.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, well, I based it off of an 8x11 swatch.
So, I know.
It's really, really hard. And it's and again, it's not like speakers where you just throw it back in the box and ship it back. It's screens aren't easy to transport back and forth and put up. And
I actually ordered one several years ago from Amazon for my other, you know, when I had it in the other room, I just ordered one of the, you know, less expensive ones. And boy, that thing came in, looked like UPS had ran over it with the truck or FedEx. I can't remember who shipped it. But, you know, when I opened up the end of the box and the frame was, you know, at a 45 degree angle or whatever, you know, from itself. And it's like, yeah, so it is difficult sometimes to get something like that. And whereas, it, of course, you know how it is. You never know. I mean,
yeah,
one thing you order's fine. And the next thing, you know, it looks like they dropped it out of the airplane when it was coming over. So
yeah exactly. they don't know what they're dealing with either. Mm-hmm. Right. No, they don't know, right. Like, oh, it's a big box, it's that's whatever true. They think it's tougher than it might be, or, you know.
Yes, that's true.
It's gotten sure. I worked at UPS for a little while, and it's did like you? Yeah, it's got, that's what they used to say. And it, and my job was in the back of the trucks loading. Oh, okay. And it's like, they didn't matter if it said fragile. It didn't matter anything. They're like, that's what insurance is for. Just keep on stacking. Swear to God. That's what they tell you. Like, build your walls. Build your, because that's how you've stacked the back of the truck. You have to build a wall, like stabilize it and wedge it in so that it's mm-hmm. all. And then,
oh, okay. Yeah.
You'd build a wall. And then when that wall was done, you'd build another wall with a little space off of that wall, and literally would take like little packages uh-huh. and throw them behind the wall.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh yeah. If you don't have a spot for a brick, you yeah. throw it behind the wall. And it's just, and that's how, and those walls of carton, right. and you would stack an 18 wheeler truck, like the trailer,
yeah,
the that trailer. Way. And all the while you're going down, there were rollers built to the truck. Okay. Uh-huh. So these things go to the floor. It's like, you know, a normal 18 wheeler, you've got like to the, where the wheels mm-hmm. are, and then the box sits on top of the wheels.
Right.
Well, these were trucks would go down below the wheels, but then you'd come up at the wheel.
Oh, okay.
So the rollers were at wheel level. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you were all the way at the front of the trailer, the rollers were at like your hip, but then they had things that came down, you'd have to drop them down as you worked your way to the back of the truck. Mm-hmm. They had the floor would come down and go level with the rollers.
Okay.
So you stacked to the rollers, drop the floor on top of it, stack to the rollers, drop the floor on top of it. So you worked your way back all twice.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was crazy. But yeah. all the way, and now people are, they're taking the stuff and they're shoving it into the truck because this truck is going to wherever. And I'm in the back of the truck, and there's only one guy in the truck. Two guys are loading the rollers mm-hmm. and they just keep shoving it. If you're not going fast enough, and I'm like, but this one says fragile. They're like, yeah. shut up. Keep going. You're like, ah. Oh my God, it was brutal. I used to go out of there with like black coming out of my noses because of the dust.
Because the dust and everything.
Oh, and you're just working, and you're like, oh my God.
Just can't be good for you. Yeah, it's no. a wonder, right? Anything gets, I mean, but then occasionally, like I ordered the Superman set that came out this week, the steelbook from Amazon.
Yep.
And I just got it in, like I just ran out and got it before I came up here. And, I thought, boy, I wonder what shape this will be in, right? Coming from Amazon, because you never know. And I opened up one box and there was another box inside it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So I open up that box and then it had like a big cardboard. It was wrapped in cardboard. And I was like, so I opened up that box and the steelbooks are inside there, but it's like they're in three layers of like cardboard. Like almost three boxes before I actually got to the disc. And I've never seen Amazon ship anything like that before. Usually you get something, you know, like this big in a yeah. box that's like 2 feet long and there's one, you know, air yeah. pack in there and it's bouncing yeah. off the side, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
This thing was boxed really well. So I was just
somebody really that knows, somebody that cares.
Yeah.
Somebody on the other end's like, ooh, this is a box set. We've got to pack this up right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I used to get hurt. I'd grab a big box and it would have like pillows in it and you'd go to pick it up and you'd be like, oh, it's nice and light. And then the next box is this little tiny thing. It's a 4x4 cube filled with lead nails. Lead nails. And you're like, there goes your back. You're like, oh my God. It's like,
it's a young person's job, right?
Yeah. Well, this was in the 90s. I was a young person. So
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. So how is your speaker adventure going.
Good. It's I'm very anxious to get back to my NHTs.
Are you really?
So, okay. Yes. Not because I don't like what I'm experiencing, right?
Now, you blew one, right?
Yes. Yeah. And Danny Speakers fixed it for me.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Yeah. He came to the house, picked up the, or no, I dropped off the speaker and then he dropped it off when he was done. Ah. He replaced the piece for me. So I'm excited.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm excited to get back in and be able to test those out and really do an AB between them and the SVS because, it's one of those things, and this is, I think, why, and I want to do the test, do, you know, with the Focals and the, what were the other ones that I was doing? I always forget. I want to do, see what the difference is between them and make a choice. But at the same time, having to have to switch because of what happened, I'm now living with the SVSs, loving them, and then, but all of a sudden you're like, well, this is my world now.
Right.
And it, you know what I mean? And it's like, yes, this is great. So it's another one of those things where you can nitpick and nitpick to the littlest, tiniest thing. But then once you're living with them for a while, you might have been so concerned with something here or there that you're like, well, wait a minute. I mean, I have a review coming up for next Tuesday. Well, the day this comes out.
Okay.
And something that I noticed, and it didn't play on the Blu-ray, but it played on the 4K version, and it was the wider sound field that I'm experiencing with the SVSs. Definitely a wide, like everything feels like it's a little bit wider
bigger
than it was with the NHTs. Now, this particular scene, I want to utilize when I go to the NHTs and see if the same idea happens.
Sure.
It's a pan off to the left that actually works really well. And I want to see if the NHTs can pull off the same thing to me.
Right.
But it is making me realize that it's like, yeah, those finest, the finest little things, the differences, you know. And I think that's what I'm going to experience when I go to the other two that are probably similarly, they might sound similar. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to be as big of a difference from the NHTs to the SVSs.
Okay.
But I think that's where I'll be like, well, this one might be a little bit this and that. But I think at the end of the day, it's like, you know what? If you find something you like, and it's like, it's really hard for me to imagine like I'm going to be like FOMO afterwards. Because yeah. I lived with NHTs and you with the Boston Acoustics for so many years that you're exactly. Like, if you're happy with it and you're not experiencing a problem,
right?
Then why change?
Right? Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's where I was for years. And I think I sent you a message a while back. You know, so you're killing me because I've lived my life with these speakers. You don't know what you don't know, right? So it's like, yeah, you know, if you don't know any different, then these are the best sounding speakers they ever made, right? Because I don't know any different. Because now when I worked at the audio video store, we sold Boston and I think Yamaha, it's been a long time, they sold American Acoustics. Do you remember those? American
Acoustics. I don't think so. I'd have to see the logo.
Yeah, they sold those, but they got rid of them before I got there. And I'm just blank right now on what the other big one was. But you know, we would listen to something and it's like, oh, yeah, that sounds, you know, pretty good. And then you'd switch over to the Boston. You know, Boston was our big brand, right? It was the high-end speaker for us. But, but you know, I used to go to a lot of the shows and stuff back then and you'd hear things and it'd be like, oh, that sounds incredible. But by the time you get home, you're listening to something in a different environment. You know, I mean, and occasionally you'd hear something on the really good, you know, like the Boston for a while tried to do something really high end. You know, they did a bookshelf speaker that was like $1,500 a pair, which back then was,
yeah,
lot, you know, for them
that's like $3,000 now,
right? And then the tower version of that was like $5,000 a pair, and they were the Linfield, I think the 300L, 400L, and 500L, I think is what it was. And those little bookshelf, the Boston rep would bring those in so we could hear them, you know, and he'd be like, hey, I'll bring a pair down with me if you guys want to listen to them. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, so he brings these bookshelves, you know, they're not very big, and it sets them down, hooks them, and they're incredible, right? I mean, to us, you know, they were incredible. And you'd hear things in that, and then you'd go back and listen to it on the VR40s or you know, the normal Bostons. And it's like, okay, I can kind of hear that because I've heard it over here before, and it right. made me pay attention to it.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, since I heard that on this speaker because it was clear and, you know, that frequency was emphasized more or whatever, now that I go back and listen to it on this speaker, I notice it.
It's there.
But if right. you've never heard it over here before, you would never notice, you know, you wouldn't necessarily pick up on it on yours. And
exactly.
And the, vice versa is kind of the same, you know, like if you don't know what you don't know, right?
So, yeah.
But I'm definitely to that point, more with my surround speakers than anything else, because I don't think they'll just achieve the level, you know, like the decibel level that I would want. And I don't listen to reference. I'm usually about 10 under, you know, roughly, but I think they're just getting old and you know, the surrounds are probably getting kind of weak on them, you know, and it's like, and they were a great speaker when, you know, for what they are, but you know, they're probably smaller drivers, obviously, than what's in the towers, you know, and it's like, it's just time, you know?
Yeah.
It's just time. It's time for something new. So.
Yeah. And plus, like I was thinking with myself, it's like we age too. Our hearing changes.
Right.
So hitting like the SVSs, hitting the frequencies that the NHTs weren't pulling off,
right.
Hitting them so cleanly. And now I can hear them. I'm like, it's not the fault of the NHTs. No. It's more of me, right? It's a neutral speaker that maybe probably sounded exactly like it does. Like SVS's sound to me now.
Yeah, you just can't
hear when I was 35.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, 20, 30 years ago, it was great. But now it's like, those aren't, I'm not able to pick all that up.
You need a little bump. Yeah.
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 And that's why it's like, you know, it's the speaker that's right for me. And I love it. And what I think the other thing is, I have the advantage of being able to do it in a room where I've experienced, like, I know the room.
Right.
And it's not like I'm, oh, these sound great. And then I take them home and be like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I know the room. I know the treatment. I know, I'm very familiar with all the material I'm using. Mm-hmm. And that's probably if you can do that when you're testing your speakers, in my opinion, that's the way it should be done, because then you know what you're getting.
And that's why I didn't do it right away. You know, it's like, I want to live with this room for a while. I want to live with the room treatment, you know, like I want to just hang out here for a while, you know, and kind of get a feel for it. And then, I mean, if I'd only had him in here for a couple of weeks and then I switched him out, it would have been more.
You don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Right. Now I can go back and say, oh, well, I can go back to such and such movie to an hour and 10 minutes or whatever. And I know that scene really gave my speakers trouble, you know, or it didn't sound as good as what I thought. I'm going to listen to that now on these, you know, new speakers or whatever that I'm trying. And,
right.
And of course, as you know, you just have to find something that offers the, you know. Most speaker companies do nowadays offer the risk free, you know, the trial
basis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My thing is, it's not fear of missing out, just flat out fear is like, I've got to calibrate that next room. Mm. I do not want it to be worse than the one I'm in.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, true. You don't know, it's going to be a bigger room. But it's not going to be substantially bigger.
Yeah.
But it's going to be bigger. There's going to be, I think, with all the speakers I'm looking at, they are all, maybe one of them, other than the NHTs, isn't rear ported. So I'll have a little bit more, maybe, advantage there in the new room where there'll be some space behind the speakers that I'm not getting right now.
You're not getting now.
Which is, which is one of the reasons I'm crossing them over at 100.
Right. Try to take the port out of it.
Yeah. And even SVS said, oh, you'll be fine. It's like, I read some stuff online about, oh, that can damage it, this, that, and the other thing. And I talked to SVS and they were like, I called their helpline and they were great. And they were like, no, you'll be fine. And I'm like, even with the center channel. And he said, he's like, Mr. Briggs. most of our center channels end up inside a cabinet. They end up inside an entertainment center.
Hmm.
He's like, most of our customers are doing that. He goes, only the few put them out on top where the wife will let them put it out on top or something, right? He goes, and they're fine. Nobody's blown a speaker or anything like that. And then he said, just try crossing them over a little higher. You can back them down to 80 if you want to try. I haven't. I'm like, I'm just leaving them at 100. I think it sounds great the way it is. But I might get a little bit more, you know, quote unquote, fidelity in the new room where these get to breathe a little bit more,
right?
You know, or whichever one I choose gets to breathe a little bit more with the rear ports.
Yeah.
But that's my biggest fear is it's like, this room is tuned really well. Can I tune the other room?
Yeah.
As good. I'm hoping better honest.
It's so funny because a lot of what you're saying, like, and I'm sure a lot of us are that way. Like, you know, we've all had the exact same thoughts, right? And it's like you said, you know, you started the podcast so you could talk to people, you know, like people, because we don't have anybody to talk to, right? The home theater people. And because when I was building this room, trying to finish it out, and I don't know how many times I told my wife, I said, what if it doesn't sound good? She's like, what do you mean? It's a room. Like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, but what if it doesn't sound good?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, you know, like I had a room designed at the other house and ended up being a bedroom. So I never got to use it, you know, like I never got to experience it. So I've always just had, you know, stuff in an extra room or, you know, an extra bedroom or, you know, the whatever family room or whatever. So I said, what if I don't like it? What if I go through all this trouble and it sounds bad, you know? And she's like, it'll be fine. You know,
see, I'm not worried that I can't fix it.
Right.
I'm just worried. Like when I move into it, am I going to be like, can I at least with my designing? Cause I'm designing it in a way that it's going to be similar to what acoustically to the room I'm in now. Mm-hmm. Treatments are going to be all the same.
Okay.
Maybe or better, right? Everything I'm doing, I'm trying to either equal or better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping that I should be pretty damn close when I, you know, to getting the same experience. The one advantage I know I'll have is it's going to be quieter. So I'm doing the room within a room as much, if not more, for the sound coming into the room than I am for the sound escaping the room.
Are you still out in the country? Still rural?
Oh, yeah.
With the new house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm only 15 minutes away from this house.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. I'm still rural. I'm still everything. I want to lessen the sound of the bass that, you know, annoys my wife when she's in a single floor house. I'm in the basement in this new house. Okay. So she's going to be right above somewhere.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, so if I can wall that off, that's good for her. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, the dogs running around upstairs, you don't want to hear, you know, projector being outside the room will be nice. So like if you can lower your noise floor in the room, that actually raises your speakers as well.
You don't have to have it as loud. Yeah.
Well, I'll still run it as loud, but now those quieter scenes will be even quieter. Oh, I'm still running reference. That's the point. Yeah.
I still can't quite do that.
Yeah.
I can't quite handle that. Some movies I probably could. It depends on what I'm watching. And what, you know, source, because the sources all vary so much, it seems like, you know,
it's even I have started dialing it back to -5 or something on some streams that you're like, whoa, that's really loud, like a show or something. That's hot. Yeah. And be like, that's too much, especially when you come down in the morning. Like, I'll get up out of bed. I'll get up at 6 and I'll come down to watch a show.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like everything's loud then. You drop a tack on the floor and you're like, oh, my God. So you come down and you fire that up. And I have a button set just to go right to reference. I'm like, boop. And I'm and they're like, you know, it got, God forbid, it's like Netflix and you got, boom, boom. You're like, oh, my God. Like, oh, that hurt.
And how can that be different? Right? Shouldn't that be the same no matter what you're watching on Netflix?
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't understand that.
I've dialed a couple back because they're running really hot on streams, but my for the most part, on my regular content, I either go reference or I go like a couple of notches above just to try, because I know that that's not playing loud enough.
Right.
And that's on an older movie, like if a Ragnarok, for example, but anytime. Anytime something brand new, I always watch reference.
Anyway, but
yeah, it's a shame.
it's
so bad. It's not so bad. It's just it's a shame that it's just not dynamic enough, and that I think, in my opinion, that's where they got their the worst of their reputation.
Yeah,
came from it, to me, anyways. That's where you're like, don't be Ragnarok.
Yeah, and
it's not.
I know, right? I've watched I think the last Doctor Strange movie is the only one I've actually watched in the room here since I finished it. And
okay. Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah. That one. And I take that back. I did watch the Spider-Man too. No Way Home. Was it No Way Home? Yeah, that had all the spider. Yeah. That was really good. I haven't went back and watched, you know, like started, I threatened to go back and watch from the beginning, right? From Iron Man on up. And I'm not a huge Marvel guy. I mean, I really enjoyed them, but I think I really enjoyed everything until about Endgame. And then at that point, you know, it's kind of like, for me personally, you know, they could have let it rest for a while, but that's just me. I fully respect.
Damn it, they want to make money.
I know. I mean, from a business standpoint, well, Endgame, the second highest grossing movie of all time. I mean, sure, you're going to make more, you know, you're going to make as many as you can make, but so I get that, but
they'll keep making them until people stop going.
That's right.
It's not until people stop going. Yeah. And it's so funny. Like, why do they keep making these movies?
Because you keep going.
It's because it's the only ones people flock to.
That's right.
I want the more artistic ones. Well, nobody goes to those.
Well, yeah.
That's what streaming's for now.
Top Gun was the exception, but I think.
Right.
Top Gun has figured out, I mean, they figured out how to make Tom Cruise a superhero, right? Because, I mean, pretty he kind of is in Top Gun Maverick. I mean, and I love the movie, and I love the first one, and I love that one. But he's kind of a super, you know, Maverick's kind of a superhero, you know, in that universe. I mean, he's doing things in a jet that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Shouldn't be but able it, to do at his age. But
Yeah. Yeah, it's all unreal. Yeah. They're blockbusters. Yeah, summer blockbusters. That's whether it's a Marvel movie or a summer blockbuster, that's what gets people to flock to the theaters. Yeah. And then listening to these actors and stuff, like I've said on the podcast before, listening to Smartless, and you hear the actors and the directors, and they're all coming on, and they're like, yeah, we love streaming. Yeah. Because it's allowing more and more content to be made that, you know, 10 years ago wouldn't have been made. They'd be like, nope, we don't have a budget for that. We can't, it's not going to make it in the theaters. So now there are some lesser things that you'd be like, that's a great one for this, or that's too much information. That's a show. Let's put that on streaming instead of doing a 3-hour movie. We'll do a 6-hour episodic show. Right. Oh, and it's like, it's allowed a lot of expansion of creative ideas. And what was that? Like a 3-year swing from when Scorsese and Spielberg were like, the streaming's not real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now they're all like, I love streaming.
Doesn't count. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't count.
Yeah. And now it's with the Irishman. Wasn't it the Irishman that was on Netflix? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Spielberg's got, if it's not already out, he's got a streaming show coming out.
Does he?
Yep. Yep. Heard, he's doing one. And yeah, it's everybody's in the actors are working more.
We got to go where people, I always said, of course, before the writer's strike, but I always said, you know, if you were an actor in Hollywood, there really shouldn't be much of a reason that you couldn't get a job nowadays, because every single company has wants their own shows, right? I mean, like, you know, of course you have all the Netflix and the HBO, all this stuff, but even the smaller cable companies, you know, I mean, I'm surprised, or cable channels over the last 5 years, 5 or 6 years, that have their own shows, their own original programming that I would have never dreamed, you know, 15 years ago or whatever, that well, even AMC, I mean, I would have never thought AMC would have had their own original programming, you know, I mean, something exclusive to them. And it's crazy. And look how big, you know, The Walking Dead was for years. So
Game of Thrones, how many actors, I mean, there were some big names in there, but then how many of those little characters that went on eight seasons later that you're like, that's the guy from Game of Thrones, you know?
No, 100%. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You watch an older movie now and it's like, oh, hey, that guy was in Game of Thrones, or he was in Stranger Things, or, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever the newer streaming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nuts. I mean,
So. I like it. I don't know. Part of me, I'm so conflicted now, because I was, and John knows this, I was such a supporter of theaters, going to the theater, and I'm like, we really have to support them. We really have to do this. And then, you know, even through the pandemic, I was like, we've got to get back into the theaters. And I was back in the theater for Tenet in September 2020. Here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Both John and I were back as soon as we could. But at the same time, I see what's going on in the theaters, especially some of them where it's just bad service. And you're like, okay. Even I am like, now I'm worn down, and I'm like, I am so close to, it's only the big ones that I want to go to the theater for now. Right. And I think the majority of the population is like that.
I do too.
And I mean, we're lucky enough that we actually improve the experience in our rooms, right? Most people just watch it at home on their TV. Yeah. We're actually like, all right, you want me to go, you're actually providing a crappy environment. And so the experience isn't that great.
Right.
I could stay home and have a better experience. You really have to up your game here.
It's tough. I mean, I haven't been to the theater in probably, I haven't been since COVID, I know.
Oh, really?
You know, probably the last thing I saw in the theater was Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, that was December.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think that's the last time either one of us has been to the theater, actually. And, you know, I miss it at times, but when I do go, I realize why I don't go anymore. Because like you say, it's usually not a good experience. I mean, and that can be from the facility to just the people that you're in the theater with. You know, you just never know. I mean, you never know what you're going to end up with. But if it's something, you know, you're just out on a Friday or Saturday night, it's not that big a deal, you know, and you go see it and there's some people, you know, it doesn't have to be the greatest experience. It's fine. Yeah. You know, you're just out. But, you know, if you're going to see something that you really care about, you know, that you really are emotionally invested in, then it's a big deal when the guy behind you starts talking on his phone in the middle of the movie, you know, or whatever the case may be, you know, so.
Or just opens their phone and they're just like scrolling and you get that bright light off into the side and you're like, what are you doing?
I'll never forget when we saw Revenge of the Sith opening day. It was, we were sitting there and it was during, when Anakin and Obi-Wan are fighting Dooku towards the beginning of the movie.
Oh, okay. The opening. Yeah.
Yeah. The opening. Yeah. And the guy behind me answers his phone. He's like, hey, what's going on? Oh, yeah. God. We're watching the new Star Wars movie. Yeah. Are you coming? No. Oh, we'll catch the next one then, you know? And I'm just like, this is Revenge of the Sith. I mean,
He's on a flip phone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And arguably the most, you know, like the one Star Wars, the one prequel movie we were all waiting on, right? For
right. Years. How do they marry these together? Yeah. Right? Because you know the ending of this. Right. How does this work?
In the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie, somebody behind you, and this is opening day. I mean, it's not like we went a month after. You know, this was the very first showing we could go to that day because we'd been to the midnight showing before, you know, and this was the next day. And, you know, and he's, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sitting here watching Star Wars, you know, and it's like, seriously. I mean, of course, that's an extreme example. But
did you hear mine?
I've been to Harry Potter movies before where the person sitting behind us was telling everybody who died because they had already read the books.
The books. Oh, my God.
Because the movies were there at one point, I think, when the last book, and I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan, but I think when the last book came out, they were on like the fifth or sixth movie or something.
Yeah.
So when we were sitting there watching the movie and the people behind us, they were talking, you know, to whoever was sitting beside them, and they were telling them who died in the last book. Jesus. Now, I had already read the book, so it wasn't, I knew already, but people, because I would read the book first, and then I'd let, because my youngest was little then, you know, so I would read a lot of stuff before he would, you know, to make sure it was okay for him to read it. And I thought, man, if I hadn't already read that book, I'd have been really mad, like sitting here, you know?
Yeah. Wow. That's awful.
I don't remember your experience. Did you have
it was since the pandemic. We'd been back in the theaters for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And typically I only go on opening day, but I'm like, I used to like doing the midnight showings back when that's as early as you could go.
100%,
right. So Thursday night.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And be like, they weren't allowed to show the movie until 12:01. Yep. I love that. I'm like, my kids grew up on that and it was a big deal for them. The deal was they had to go to school the next day, but they wanted to because they wanted to tell
all their friends. Yeah, I already saw the movie.
I saw it last night or this morning. Right.
My dad took me.
and it was usually packed. Saw all the Lord of the Rings like that. Saw the Star Wars trilogies like that. A lot of my kids' movies, the Twilight series, I saw like that with my daughter. Love that stuff because it was an event, right? And it was the people there were respectful. It was a good time. People dressed up. It was fun. It was like a mini Comic-Con, right?
I never had any issues at the midnight showing.
No.
We went to the midnight.
You all had a good time.
Because the people that they're there really, like you say, they really cared. I mean, they want, you know, you got to make an effort, you know, to go at midnight.
Midnight. I mean,
you know, to watch something. Yeah.
So. On a Thursday.
Exactly. Right?
This isn't like Saturday and it's like people just wandering out of the bar across the street morning, and like, hey, oh, there's a movie playing. Let's go.
Right.
No. So now they're doing, you know, Thursday and I'm getting tickets at 3:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm like, it's the easiest to get tickets for. Because most people can't go then.
Right.
So I'll get the 3:30. I'll go with my kids. But anyways, it was like a year ago. I can't even remember the movie it was. I think it was a Marvel movie. But there was a little girl in there. Had to be like 5. And she had light up sneakers on.
Mm.
And they just let her run all around the theater. Light up sneakers blinking away, and she starts yelling. She runs the full length of the screen, and this is at the Showcase Cinema. Plus, their screen's
whatever it is,
20 yards wide,
right?
And this little girl's like pitter pattering, and you could see the light from the pink lights reflecting on the screen as she ran by. And finally somebody in the back yells, "Get a hold of your kid." And then the lady looks around and then she grabs the kid. Well, now that's worse.
Right.
Because now the kid doesn't want to sit still. So the kid's screaming at the top of their lungs.
Yep.
And you're like, what are you doing? And if I remember right, it wasn't even a movie that was an appropriate movie for these little kids either. It was probably some PG-13 or something that was like, And I'm like, what are you doing? And I was like, that's where the theater has to step in and be like, you can't stay.
These people are
trying to enjoy this movie.
You can't let one person, I mean,
ruin it for everybody.
Or a theater full of people, even from a business standpoint, you know, that's bad business because you got a room.
Right.
You know, you got and a theater the full of people that are aggravated driving, now.
Yeah. Well, why come back? I'll just stay home and watch it. What the hell? You know.
And even if you don't, you know, because most people obviously don't have dedicated theater, but I mean, you can get a 65, 75 inch really nice TV for pretty affordable price nowadays, you know, and
without a kid running in front of it.
Right.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Great. No, if the screaming kid's there, it's yours, you know, or the grandkids. Yeah, exactly.
You just trip them.
Right.
I mean, what are you going to do? That's right. It's your kid.
Be quiet. Yeah.
Be quiet. That's why they invented duct tape.
Go to your room. Yeah, I know, right? So funny. When do you plan on getting your other set of speakers? Because I know you said you're doing the Focals and something else. So
yeah, Kefs. It's the Focals and the Kefs. First off, I think it is. Yeah. I think it's they're both right around the same price point. They're both a little bit more than the SVSs.
Yeah,
but roughly the same. I didn't go extremely higher just to see, because God forbid I went that high and then loved them. Like, why? Why did I do that to myself? But I you know, get something that's relatively comparable price wise. So I'm probably, I got, you know, I'm going to do the NHT thing. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, I'll probably do the front stage of the Focals or the Kefs, whichever one I do first.
Gotcha.
I'm hoping in the next, you know, next month or so, I'll be able to get, I'll be into my next set. So I've done the NHTs and then do that. It's really, you know, all my shop stuff is at my daughter's house.
Yeah.
So I have to build speaker stands. My table saw, my chop saw, all my stuff is there. And I'm like, and I've thought of like, I just really want to bring it home. Like on a rainy day, I might drive up there, get everything and build my speaker stands.
I've thought of that. Because I have two towers in a center channel now. And if, when I start that process, you know, that speaker process, auditioning process, I hope to do, you know, identical three across the front, depending on what brand, obviously I go with, and it's like, I'm going to have to build speaker stands for those. Like, I'm going to have some way to set them back there, you know? So yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I want to build something that's going to make it so that I can AB it quick enough. Like the center channel, I'm going to slide to the side and just go, whoop, but I already bought the switchers to be able to do it. So I have that. I bought those back when I got the SVSs.
Okay.
And I'll be able to just hit a button and go right between the two sets.
Oh, perfect.
And I'm just thinking, so like I'll leave the SVSs where they are in the wall and then put the, what would now be my next, the first round will be the NHTs. Sure. Those are going to be mounted just below them, right? Mm-hmm. Out in front, but below them on speaker stands. Mm-hmm. And then just be able to AB between the two of them and see what I hear and, you know, jump between my scenes and see what I hear and experience it. And then when I'm done with that, I'll go to the next round, and then go back and forth. And if one really does blow me away, I'll replace that one and listen to it for a little while before I go on to the next one.
Right. How did you decide which brand you wanted to go with? I mean, I know SVS obviously, but.
Well, no, I had looked at SVS for a long time. I'd wanted, because from what I understood from talking to other people, is that SVS, and this goes all the way back to me before I had a podcast, looking to upgrade my speakers. And I had written into AV Rant. And one of the things, they knew I had NHTs, and they recommended Revels, they recommended Focals, and they did recommend SVSs. And they were like, your NHTs are a good neutral speaker. And then they said, but then they also said, they're like, one of the things they said, maybe not the SVSs because it was rear ported. So they were trying to, their recommendation was based off of where I had mine placed and being, they didn't want the port.
Sure.
But then talking with more people, it was like, oh, you can comp, you don't, that's not as detrimental. You don't limit yourself just by that. But at the same time, because of that, I wasn't going anywhere at the time. So I'm like, why bother changing? But now, because I am leaving and I knew, I know my next place, I can have a ported. So that's why I'm invited. I'm like, oh, and SVS is supposed to be neutral. And they were supposed to, just a really nice speaker that's right. supposed to be similar to the NHTs. And I think that's why I raved about them so much, is I was not expecting the difference that I heard. Because from what everybody told me, it was like they were very neutral. They were a very good speaker that's very neutral, maybe a little bit brighter.
That's what I think I've heard too, is they're pretty much neutral, maybe just a touch bright, but.
Right. And which I guess is just in that sweet spot for me, because it just gives me enough more that, because I'm not a big fan of horn speakers, especially in a smaller room. Too bright for me, maybe painful at times if you don't have, you know. So I liked the neutral. I had B&Ws. I tried them a long time ago, and I was like, that was too, people call warm, I call muddy. I was like, I didn't like them as much.
Yeah, I haven't heard those B&Ws for years, but I know years ago when I was kind of in that industry, they had a very unique sound.
Yes.
Like, yeah, they were,
it's a proprietary sound.
Like that, they were really, like, you either loved them or you didn't. Like,
right. And in my opinion, I don't think they project as well in, I think they're more for two channel. I think from my understanding, but I understand home theater far better than I understand two channel. But what I understand about, especially nowadays with direct, you know, discrete channels all around the room, you want as much clarity as possible, so that, because all these speakers are working together, and where you go for a warmer, quote unquote warmer sound, to me sounds like you're blending your bass into your, instead of allowing that dynamic range, you're smoothing that out. I know I'm probably screwing that all up, don't take my word, you know, quote me on this, but I don't feel they play as well in a discrete 5+ whatever channel surround system.
You're not really looking for ambience or whatnot to be created by the speaker necessarily.
Right.
In a surround system, you know, you just, your two front speakers, you have other speakers to do that.
So, yeah. Well, that's the thing is, you want your speakers to do exactly what they're being told to do, because they're working with all the other speakers that are being told exactly what to do to create that environment. And if you have a speaker that's like, well, we're going to take it, I know this is what I'm being told to do, but I got a better idea.
I'm going to put a flare on it. You know?
Yeah. Look at me.
I'm going to flare that just a little now, bit.
And that might play well for other people, right? Well, that have a sensitivity at something, right? And, but for me, that's the wrong direction, especially after what I know now.
Well, and so much of it is just, obviously, personal preference. That's kind of a duh statement, I know, but you know, just like I was building room treatments, right? And I just, you know, got the Rockwell insulation and wrapped it, you know, built the frame, just the norm, you know, what everybody does. Hung that at the first reflection points, and then I hung another set at the second reflection points. And then, you know, of course, you keep reading things and whatnot, and people are like, oh, you just can't put all absorption. You know, you need to have some diffusion as well. And I'd read to just get some scrim tape, you know, and put on the front and, you know, space it out. And then, you know, and that'll give you a little bit of diffusion, but yet still absorption. Like, okay, I'll try that with a couple of them, you know. So I got the tape and I tried that. I put that on there and I hung them up there and I did not like it. I did not like the way it sounds, but if you read, depending on where you're at and what you're reading, obviously, you know, a lot of people are going to tell you that's what you need to do. You know, that's what you have to do. But I tried it. I didn't like it.
Right.
I mean, to me, instead of the speaker sounding like it was coming from behind the screen, you know, or instead of being low, not necessarily the speaker being localized, but the sounds being localized to where they should be, it sounded like it was coming off over onto the wall. That sound was bouncing off that tape, you know, and creating that little bit of diffusion. But it, to me, it sounded like the speakers were on the wall instead of behind the screen where they should be.
Right.
I just didn't like it. But yeah,
that's going to screw up your pans. It's going to screw up your pans, not only, you know, across the room, but also to the back of the room, because now you're like, where's that going?
Where's that coming from? You know, like something happened and you're looking and going, that's not right. You know, that shouldn't be way over there. Right here. So, but some people might hear it and say, hey, that really expands the sound stage. I love that. Makes the room sound bigger.
Right.
That's great. I mean, if they, you know.
Yeah, but it's, but, if it sounds bigger, it's because, like, what I experienced, it's like, I feel like that's what I'm supposed to be hearing anyways.
Yeah.
Right. It didn't. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a good scene that, in Star Wars, the first one. Okay. Well, A New Hope. Sorry.
Right.
Star Wars. So when, Luke is cleaning R2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, when they first get him and he takes him back and he's like, oh, you got a little gunk in here. Yeah. And he's cleaning them up, right? R2's making some beeps and boops, but you can see him on the screen. My speakers are outside of my screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is this and one other scene in Empire I'll tell you about in a second is the only time this has been a problem is that R2 sounds like he's even further out from that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right. Right.
I have the room treatments right there. It's not a reflection. It's just, this is the way it works. This particular scene, this is the way it works. Mm-hmm. And when I first got those additions, I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And I'm like, R2's sitting there and you see him rocking going, rip, 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 rip. But I'm like, it sounds like it's coming
from over not here. Where
right. So, I think it's a bad mix.
It's a mix.
Because what should be happening is the mix should be trying to utilize, and that's where your room correction comes in and knows how far apart everything is and all that. But it should be utilizing center channel and that channel to put R2 where he should be on over, that screen,
not
on the outside. Yeah. Right.
Right.
So, then there's another scene in Empire when Luke is in Yoda's hut.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you see the little coral snake and stuff and he bangs his head.
Yeah.
Listen to that scene. And it's very similar. I think it's on the left side this time and it's way further out than it should be.
Okay.
Some sounds that are going on there. And I'm like, what the? And when I did the SVSs, I'm like, oh, maybe they cleaned it up. Maybe it was the NHCs. Nope. Still there. I'm still hearing it. So that's just a bad mix.
Right.
Because all of my other stuff, I've got pans that now all of my speakers are outside of the screen.
Sure. Yeah.
They work well. They're working well enough that my eyes are seeing pans and hearing stuff go up the screen. It's going to the side of the screen. It's going outside the screen.
Yeah.
Other movies are very accurate. So I know I trust a lot that it's not my room.
Sure.
No amount of sound treatment is going to move that on me.
Not at all.
So I'm not worried about that. And I just think that's a mix thing. And it, you know, not much you can do about
it
that.
Is what it is.
And and I kind of had a feeling the SVSs would do the same thing because it's not the speaker, but I was hopeful maybe that would clean it up with the clarity, be like, draw that in a little bit.
Nope. And there's not much you can do with that, but. It's fun though. I mean, it's like I said, I've enjoyed hearing you talk about, you know, going through everything and next. So you're assume you're going to be in the house around the end of the year. Is that correct?
I don't know. I would like to, I would say definitely this time next year, I would have been in for a little bit, but I don't know. I have no idea. I'm still waiting. I'll have a better idea once I get the big hump is conservation.
Sure.
And that's what we're waiting on right now. So once I get that and then we close and I literally own the property, then it's literally like I just talked to the building commissioner last week and they're like, Oh yeah, tops. Like they're required, according to the town, they're required within 30 days. So they're the last step before I start building.
Gotcha.
I gotta, so I have to get all my ducks in a row. I gotta get a well truck out there. I gotta drill a well. I gotta do all this, get my tests. That can all happen probably as soon as I know that we're getting back from the conservation. I'll start planning all that, knowing when my closing date is, and be like, day after closing date, I want a well truck rolling. So right. That I can, because I need that information to get my building permits.
Right. Okay.
Right. So yeah, I'll do that. And then I'm a month away from just, okay, let's go. And now because I'm building it myself, my brother-in-law, and we're doing so, it's going to be our schedules that are pretty much going to be the hindrance. And like right now I already have excavation scheduled for July. So
hopefully
everything lines up, and he's cool with it. Like, if it doesn't line up, I'll know well enough in advance to be like, all right, let's push it to like the beginning of August. So, but if we can get in July, that means my foundation's done by the end of the month. Everything's there. And now it's just a matter of let's get the frame up and go.
Go,
and
yeah.
I don't want to rush because I want to get it done right, but I also want to save the money by doing it myself.
Sure.
So we'll see.
Well, you'll have a lot of content. Once you're in the house and you start, you know, on the room, like you'll have all kinds of content, you know, like your tweaks of the week are going to be
like this 2x4. Right? See this right here? No, I do. Like I plan on doing something just like the day after I close, or probably the day I close. I'm literally going to go sit down and be like, this is my theater right here.
Yeah.
See you next week. Let's watch this progress. And I'm sitting in the middle of the woods. you'll be like, wow, that's really come a long way.
That could be fun too, just for different reasons. But you know.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, it's like I'm trying not to get my hopes up on time.
Yeah.
And date. I mean, I want to be in. I want to get my parents in for various reasons. You know. That's probably more important than the theater to me, but it's so, but I still have to, you know, when you try to rush it, that's when mistakes happen. And it's, this isn't what I do for a living. So I know mistakes are going to happen. I'm trying to limit those.
Yeah, I know. And we talked, you know, we talked about building a house when we were looking for this house, you know, before we bought this house. And it was just like, I just don't think we, you know, we just like, no, that's just not us. I mean, I know they say it's like one of the most stressful things you can do, right, is build a house. And we were both like, we just can't deal with that right now. You know, like we had so many other things going on. And it's like, no.
Right. So, oh, no, this wasn't never, my choice.
Yeah.
But it wasn't my first choice. But, and I think I've said it in the past. It's like, a year ago, I was telling my brother-in-law, he's like, just build it yourself. We can do it. And I was like, I don't want to. I'm 53. I'll be 53 years old. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I'd rather just have somebody do it. And then I just get to move in. I want to relax. I'm trying to relax. And he goes, you could save so much money. And I go,
oh, don't do that.
No. But you don't save the money because what you end up doing is any money you save,
you just spend
to that limit on the house, right? Yeah. So you set a budget and be like, oh, I'm going to save this. No, you're not. I'm going to get this. Okay.
You're not going to save any money. You end up maybe with a nicer house, nicer things, but you're not going to save any money. Yeah.
Right. So now it's like, okay, now I have to build it because I have to save money because we're over our budget because we're taking my parents in.
Right.
So it's like, I'm literally trying to build you know what I mean? It's, I have, not that I don't have a choice. I could have said no, but I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's a challenge and it's, you know, at the end of it, you're going to be like,
I'm done.
And I think that's when my wife is going to lose it. Because we'll be done and I'll be like, all right, now I want to do this. She'll be like, sit down.
Quit.
You're done.
I mean, I get that. And of course, you know, putting this together is not like building a house, obviously, nothing to that level. But, you know, I'll be on the laptop or whatever, you know, after we eat dinner, and she'll just kind of walk by and see. And she's like, what are you looking at? What are you doing? And I'm like, well, I thought I might be able to do this, or I might be able to do that, or, you know, when I build the next home theater room, and she's like, where's the next one going? Like,
right.
You do, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm sure we'll move at some point. There'll have to be a next one, right? It's like,
yeah. I hope for a little while after I'm done with this, and that's part of my wife's goal too, is she wants me to be like, when we move in, she wants the basement done. She wants it like, we're in, we're done. Not like we got to get in and then now I have to start on that part. She wants it so that I can just be done. Oh, and I don't think that's going to be possible because
it's really tough.
Well, and I said to her, I already warned her. I'm like, look, there's priorities here because I'm trying to get my parents in here, get us in here so my son can have this place, get everything.
That's a lot of moving pieces.
And for me to be downstairs hammering away on a basement when I could have the house done and my parents in.
Right.
I'm like, that's kind of silly. So I already told her that. And I'm like, worst case scenario, I think when I move in, I'm about a month out, I would say. Because then once I'm in, I'm like, look, this I won't stop doing this, but it'll be like, guys, check this out. This is what I'll, you know, like you said, I'm like, we're almost there. Because I will build a little bit while we're building the house.
Sure.
But I'll get the theater done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get the theater done so I can enjoy stuff, and then I'll start in on the rest of the area around it. But even that, my wife wants done fairly quickly because she just doesn't want me working. She's like, you've got to stop.
Yeah, because you've been working on your daughter's house and everything. Like, so, yeah, you're...
I've just been nonstop for a long time, even before that. And it's just, she's like, you've got to stop. So, other people are saying it too.
I'm it's like, hard, right. though. I mean, when you get, you know, and I shouldn't say when you get older. I mean, you know, we're not necessarily old, but I mean, it's you know, when you're, I did that for years, right? When we lived in town, we were all the time doing something. You know, we were remodeling this room. We were tearing the plaster out of this room. You know, I had to rewire this room. You know, I mean, it was always doing something on the house. And we moved out here, and I think that was one of the reasons as well. You know, and it was like, we're moving out here and we're not going to do anything. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. That's amazing. Right.
Yeah.
And we're here for however long, you know, month or two or 6 months or whatever. And it's kind of like, you know, if we took this bathroom out in the hallway and moved it on the other side, then we could move the utility room over here, you know, and that would make more sense. And she's looking at me going, no, you know, and I'm like, but, you know, and I told her over the years, you know, we've realized it's like I was so used to doing just constantly doing something constantly.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, we moved and boom, I didn't have to do anything to the house, you know, other than just the upkeep. You know, I got 3.5 acres to mow, but, you know, I mean, other than that, but, and it's just like, what am I going to do?
Yep.
I mean, it was tough for a while, you know. It really was. It sounds dumb when you say it out loud, but
it's hard. It's hard when you're used to go, and that's like, that's how, quite literally, it's how you define yourself. And I think that's why we're like in our theaters, people like ourselves, that you're like, well, I can't just sit still. Stagnant's not working for me. So I need to produce something to feel like I did something.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know I am getting older, and just the idea that I didn't want to do the house myself at the beginning, that was a new idea for me.
Yeah.
Right. So I think when I'm done with this one, I'll be like, yeah, I'm, you know, I'll do small projects. I like you, I have a few acres, so I'll have some fun on that, building stone walls and stuff, but that's all fun Saturday project stuff that doesn't have to be done. But it'll be nice to do and be like, oh, isn't that pretty? All right, let's go sit down.
Yeah, you can definitely find things to do, as you know, living out in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, you can definitely find things to do that just, I guess, busy work is what you would call it. But still, you know.
Yeah, because you can't sit around all day.
Well, and that's, I have a wood shop.
I can't.
You know, out in the barn. And it's not a very big one. It's just small. And it's just something that I dabble with, really, you know.
Yeah.
But it's been a decent amount of time out there in the summer, you know, I mean, I enjoy it and, you know, and that's, I usually, about this time of the year, I usually sit down and say, okay, what am I going to build this summer? you know, so it's either, you know, we're going to build bookshelves in this room or maybe cabinets for this room, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, it just gives me something, you know, to work on throughout the summer. Cause like I said, you just can't sit all day. So not like when I was younger, you know,
so I know that's the hard thing is like when I was younger, I slept all day.
Right.
And I went out all night. So
right.
Like, how did I sleep all day? Oh yeah. I was out all night.
It's funny when you get older, you get, or at least me, it's like I get fidgety, you know, it's like I have to move and do things.
Yeah. I feel like a failure if I'm sleeping in the middle of the day.
Exactly. 100%.
So, all right.
All right.
This is, I mean, there you go. Are you done being nervous?
Yeah, no, it was fine. It was fine. I think the biggest thing, and for anyone thinking about doing it, is, and you always say you're just sitting around talking to friends, right?
Yeah.
And of course, you don't know me. But
I do now.
Feel like I know, right. I feel like I know you because I've listened to you for the last several years. So, and there's a lot of, you know, and you're the same way with, before you started talking to on the AV rant, you know, Tom and Rob, you know, I mean, you kind of feel like you know them. So when you do talk to them, you know, when you do finally sit down and talk to them, it's not like you just bumped into somebody that you don't know at all, you know, or you have no idea what's going on in their life or anything else. So no, it's very easy. Very, of course you're extremely easy to talk to, which makes it, you know,
well, that it's, we all are though, to be honest, we all are. And it's like, it's so funny because like you say, Tom and Rob, and it's like, when I started to do this before I did this podcast, one of the people I reached out to, or two of them, were Tom and Rob. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like shaken, like nervous to send the email. And I'm like, I just want to ask you some questions and stuff. And Tom was like that, got back to me. Really? So did Rob, but Tom gave me his, Rob's very private. Tom, not so much.
Really? Okay.
Oh God. Yeah. Tom,
Rob doesn't surprise me. Tom, I'm surprised, but.
So Tom texted, he emailed me right back, gave me his phone number and said, give me a call. And I called him up and we talked, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes about podcasting and just, and it was, and that's why I'm like, he, in his show, he's like, rah, 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 but he's a great, great guy. I mean, he is what.
He's like Grumpy Cat, you know?
Yeah, but he's correct. It's just he's expressing.
Oh, he's good. Yeah, he's knowledgeable.
Right. He's expressing what we all know. Like, oh my God, why are people saying that? Right. You know? Yes.
He'll say what you're thinking you just wouldn't necessarily say. Yes. Tom will say it. Yeah.
Yes. Great guys. Same with Ara and Braden. So like once I had the show, I reached out to Ara and Braden. Same thing. Boom. Hey buddy. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. They were great. And that's why when we did the Thanksgiving podcast, I was like the first one, I was like, all right, let's try this. And, but yeah. And it's normal. It's, we're just guys.
Yeah.
We're all of us, all the podcasters and anybody else I've talked to. When I did the chat, I talked to a bunch of podcasters over there, that same thing. You listen to them for years and you're like, And now I'm starting to understand, because I've been doing it now for, well, John and I have been doing it for almost 5 years. So I've been doing this one. It'll be 4 years, I think. Yeah, 4 years in the fall. So I'm starting to feel like how they felt when I was reaching out to them and being like, what's the big deal? I'm just talking to a person, right?
Right.
Like, I think you are.
Yeah.
But I understand what it's like on your side. I really do. And I really appreciate people coming on, and I know how nervous it is. I still get that way. It's not, I mean, I get nervous talking when I go on other podcasts and I'm like, oh my God, this person, like I said, when I have Rich Keefe on here, I screwed up all my audios. I was nervous for days before that one. I was like, oh my God.
I can understand that.
And at the time, I'd already been to his home. We hung out. I did his theater for him. So I was like, what the hell? Why am I so nervous?
But what podcast is he from?
Hashtag Dork.
Yeah, that's right.
Hashtag Dork. That. But he also is a radio. He's like a Boston kind of celebrity. He's a radio host, sports radio.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. So he does sports radio out here. Yeah, so everybody's like, you talk to him. And I'm like, yeah. And I almost crapped my pants.
Yeah. You're like, I'm telling you, you're famous, DJ. It's like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Look at me go.
It's like the big time.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. It's quote unquote famous is only because of you guys, you know, and it's like, that's all it is.
And I think for me and probably some people is it's not so much sitting down talking to the person, you know, it's knowing that everybody else is going to hear it too.
You know,
I think that's for me, you know, because it's like, man, I hope I don't say something dumb, you know, or I hope you don't, you know, something wrong because, you know, people are going to, you know, jump all over you or whatever. So I think that's, you know, a lot of
it is.
And the video is just that next step, right? I mean,
that's why I don't do video. That's why I don't do the video for this. And people have said, I'll do the video. I don't mind. I'm like, no, I know. And I did a couple in the green room, but then I stopped because I'm like, if you do some for some people and then don't, then you know the ones that don't want to be on, and that's not fair to them. Be like, oh, how come he didn't come on? He didn't want to. Right. So now if it's level playing field for everybody, then you're more apt to attract people. People are like, oh, it's just video, right? Or just audio, right? Yeah. I do like to see people. I like to do this part so I can see and meet the people. It's easier to talk to. Sure. But I've had people come on that didn't even want that, and they blocked their. Oh yeah. That's really? Fully accept. I mean, you just get a blank screen.
Yeah.
So I mean, and
people. Yeah, I didn't know if you were going to do the video or not when we were recording, and I thought, well, that's fine. I mean, I did, you know. But
some people are, you know, they're private. They don't want it. They don't do this. They don't, you know. And
I get that.
That's fine. Yeah, it's a little bit, to me, I'm so used to talking with people now, and I think where the world is more used to it now too, because of Zoom and stuff, but in the pandemic, everybody started doing COVID this all pushed the time. That
way far ahead of what it ever would have been before, right? I mean, you know, it accelerated all that by years.
Oh, yeah. You know, oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I actually went to through USA Hockey, I was in a Zoom meeting. When Zoom was first coming out, they gave it to USA Hockey for free to use. And I was in Colorado at their annual meeting. And I was in, my son and I went in, and that was probably 2017. And it was like, we came back to Massachusetts, and I was telling people in my district, I go, hey, we're going to do meetings this way. We're going to do Zoom. And they're like, what? Nobody wanted to do it. They're like, can't we just meet in person?
Yeah.
And now you can't get, I'm like, I was trying to run them because my district is pretty spread out. I got to drive like an hour other people have to drive an hour to that area. So centrally located.
Yeah.
And we'd have, you know, I got to meet once a month with them, and people wanted to do that instead of Zoom back in 2017. Sure. Right. And now I'll be like, all right, we're having a meeting. Can we just Zoom it? Nobody wants to meet in person anymore, which I'm like, okay, fine. In my district, it's great because it's so spread out, but yeah, it's such a flip, but
yeah. It's been a interesting last 3 years, right? I mean,
say the least,
no matter what, like I said, 3 years ago, I mean, or 4 years ago, my wife was traveling often to Boston, you know, to that area. And, because I know when I, because she always asked me, she said, where they live, and I'm like, I don't know where he's at. I'm like, so that's when she heard you that time, she walked there and she's like, oh, he's from Boston. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay. I'm like, I don't know where he lives. Yep. I don't have a clue. She's like, well, he's in that area, I can tell. And I'm like, okay.
But
several years ago she would have been out there all the time. Now she doesn't go out there at all, you know. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And it's good and bad.
It's shrunk the world a little bit. It's, you know, we're all able to talk and reach out to each other and be able to, I mean, stuff like this is way more possible now. And I think I think for us, it's a huge benefit for home theater fans.
Yeah. Cause how many people do you know personally that are really into home theater?
Right. Well, now a bunch. But well, yeah, having actually met them in person, right, not a bunch.
Right.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. But like, you know, Johnny Speakers and Mikey Schramm, that's a rarity. You're like, hey, you know, and it's like getting those to meet these people.
Brightside, right? And then,
yeah.
Were they on Takeover Tuesday this week?
Yeah. They were the ones
started their own podcast.
No, they didn't start it, but yeah, no, I was joking.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's them. Yeah. And okay. they were talking because they realized they were both from the same area. And Omar ended up there. He reached out to them and that was pretty cool. So it's like, it's rare that you actually get to meet people, especially nowadays. I think it's going to start to open up again. It is definitely for me.
Yeah.
Because I used to go out all the time and just through gym and go into different theaters because he was installing in the area. I'd go to different stores, which they're not as prevalent now. But I stopped doing that a while ago just because I knew when I went, I'd spend money. Yeah. So I stopped doing it because my kids were in, you know, the money was flowing out through them and their activities. And I'm like, I can't. So like I know if I go, I'm going to be like, oh, wow, that's a beautiful receiver.
I know. Right? I know. Yeah.
What's it do? I don't know. I just got to have it. It's new.
Look at it. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Look at it. Like,
yeah, I just got to get it home and get it installed. And then when my wife sees it, I'll go, oh, it's been there for a while.
I know. Right. And we'll have to, now I don't, I'm not one of those agenda guys, you know, I don't usually have like an agenda, you know, like a PowerPoint presentation on what I want to talk about, but I usually just kind of, cause I thought about that cause when I was listening to one of the Takeover Tuesdays and it wasn't this week. So it must've been the week before.
Yeah. Joe Klosnick.
Joe.
And he had his list in front of him.
DJ. And I'm like, I hope DJ doesn't expect me to have a list.
No.
Because I'm going to disappoint him.
No. I like off the cuff. I like it when people have lists. I think that's fun because I love, because I'll do tangents. I'll do the whole thing. But what was fun about Joe and anybody with a list, Joe kept me on point. Right. Yeah. I'd start and be like, okay, now. And I'd be like, all right, let's go, Joe. Thanks, buddy. All right. Keep me on point.
I think you called him out on that a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great.
Here.
It's great. And that's nice to do. But, if you don't have a list, we come on, you're here. We all know, you know, we talk home theater and anything we want to talk about because, like I said, we're more than our home theaters.
Yeah.
And, I thank you so much. I was not expecting that. I wouldn't even have known to ask that, but that entire conversation we had about the internet and not having it and stuff, that's insane.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
You know, it's great to experience that for somebody that, up to 2019. So
even for me, I sit and I think in my, you can go into the router and see how much data you've used, right? You know, in a given month or whatever. And I'll go look now just for funds, you know, and I don't know. It's massive, right? You know, it's terabyte or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's, and I'm like, okay. So I said, just to put this in perspective, you know, and I'll tell people, and it's like, this is what our data cap used to be. This is what we're using now in a month, you know, or you break that down. It's like, we use more now in a couple hours than what our data cap was. And it's not like it was 1995.
Right.
You know, this was 2011.
Yeah.
I mean, 2012, 2013. I mean, it was fairly, in the grand scheme of things, fairly recent, you know?
Right.
And I listen to that. And I think you and John and Steve, I think, which Steve and I have bonded now.
Okay.
He doesn't know it yet, but through the fifth, you know, cause I don't like the Fifth Element either, the movie.
Nice. Okay.
So I made a comment, I think in one of the YouTube videos in the chat and Steve said, you are with your people, you know, but you probably didn't realize it wasn't me cause I have a different name, you know, yeah. It's not the same as my Twitter name. So
I'm learning that people are coming, like people will either buy boxes of popcorn now or they'll email me and people have different names. I'm like, oh, thank you so much. Are you a new listener or something? Like, no, it's me. No, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I can't keep track of who's who. Never mind all the same name. People have multiple names.
I have
a couple listeners that I know have three names in different places. But they've been around for a while, so I know who they are now, but I'm like,
Well, I just, of course, being an IT guy, I'm probably more paranoid than normal about things, you know, so I kind of, you know, it's like, oh, I'm a different good name here, and, you know, and don't necessarily want the same name, you know, what if I comment and somebody cross-references that to over here and figures out who I am and where I live, you know, and so.
As long as your two names aren't arguing with you.
Yeah, well,
like you're arguing with yourself.
There's some days,
I felt this way and I yelled at myself online,
right? Yeah, and then self replied to me through Facebook. I don't know how that happened, but So, Steve's fun. Yeah, him and I bonded. He just doesn't realize it probably, but it's me because I know when I made that comment, and he's like, "You are among your people," which I thought was very
comical. Funny.
He's great anyway, but
yeah, but, he is.
Yeah, great guy,
good stuff. Good stuff.
All right. So I'll have to do it again. We'll have to get together again.
Sounds good.
We didn't talk about all the other gear. We didn't talk about projectors, you know, we didn't talk about receivers, amplifiers, nothing. So
you got to keep me on point, buddy.
I'm just saying, you know,
I know.
There's all the other stuff we could talk about, right?
I know. There's always so much more, especially in like you'll come on again. And there'll be stuff we didn't talk about or new stuff or how's this. It's fun.
It is.
Just have fun. Yeah. It's all it is.
And even though, and you're are you a Patriots fan? Do I remember you saying that at some point?
Yeah. Patriots, Bruins, Red Sox, Celtics. Yep.
Okay. Well, the Celtics I can get behind.
Okay.
The Patriots, I'll forget you said it. I'll just try to put it out of my head and not think about it.
It's a little easier to admit now. John and I, and I've said this on the podcast. Yeah. John and I, when we started in 2018, so that was like literally towards the end of the heyday, but they were still dominating.
Right.
I was like, we cannot tell people we're Patriots fans. I was literally trying to hide my accent. Yeah. I didn't want, because it was a non-starter. If you don't know who you are and you'd be like, I'm not listening to that guy. Yeah. Right. They don't want to hear it. They've got other things to listen to. There's so much other podcasts out there. People are going to avoid it. Now it's like, how does it feel? I'm like, great. Like when I was a kid, I get it. Yeah. I'm like,
I'm a Cowboys fan. So, I mean, yeah.
Sorry.
So, I mean, think about, you know, like when I was a kid.
So you have the reverse of what we had.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't really remember the Roger Staubach days. That was before me, just barely. But they were still really good, you know, after that. And then, of course, then in the early 90s was the Aikman and Emmett and all those guys, you know. Yep. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
I loved them. Yeah. I loved those. Watching them Cowboys, Niners games, it was like one of them's going to win the Super Bowl, but only one of them can get there.
This is a Super Bowl. That was always fun.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then the Bills would run 4 years in a row and just go lose to one of them.
That's right.
Yeah. It was like, what the hell? Like poor guy. Who's a running back? What was his name for the Bills? Thurman forgot Thomas? His helmet.
Was it Thurman Thomas?
Thurman Thomas. Yeah. Remember the Super Bowl? He forgot his helmet.
Yeah,
he ran out of the locker room without his helmet. Oh, that doesn't bode well.
Right there, we knew we should just turn around and left.
No. Right, like gonna need that.
Was that because one of those Super Bowls where they played the Cowboys? They were ahead at the half. And then Dallas, it was the second time they played in the second year.
Yeah. Didn't they? They lost to the Giants too.
Yeah.
1 year. That was the, I think Sims out that game, I think, or something like that. Belichick was the defensive coordinator then.
Yeah.
But that was the one where, what's his name? Norton, the kicker, missed it.
Yeah.
They would have won and he missed
it. Would have won and he missed it. Yep.
So, they had a rough go of it. 4 years in a 4 years of Super Bowl and no Super Bowls. And it's like, I mean, it's great to get there, but that's tough.
That's yeah, but nobody remembers who was there.
Well, you know? Do remember they well, were.
You remember they were. That's it. They did make.
You got to do it four times to be a memorable loser.
Yes, if you're not going to win, just lose as many times as you can in a row.
In a row.
Yeah. That everybody will remember that.
Yeah.
You could do the Patriots thing and go undefeated and then lose the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right? Yep. So. That was that one there. That was the toughest. Absolutely the toughest.
Yeah.
And as a fan, but it also set me up for the rest of my life. I'm like, you will never get a more disappointing because you're just like,
true.
You can't get more disappointing than that.
No, they could never do. That's true. They could never do anything to disappoint. Not you, but you know, to be
any more of any of the teams. I mean, you'd have to go undefeated and lose the championship.
That's right.
Right.
And wow. Yeah.
Anything less than that, and you're like, yeah, that's nothing.
Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. You know, everybody's on me right now. Oh, the Bees had the best season, and then they lost. Yeah, at least it was the first round, like a Band-Aid.
Right.
That's nothing. Go, Dallas imagine losing to a helmet catch on a perfect season. That was a helmet catch days game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
He should have been. It's like, we're at home going, he was in the grasp. He throws up a Hail Mary after being in the grasp, and then the guy catches it. What's his name? Catches it on his helmet.
Yeah,
and
like right.
Rodney
yeah,
Harrison's couldn't get it out. Oh my God.
Yeah,
and it's you're just like what the and whatever. That I think that was fourth. That was fourth down. Was the game. Yeah, that was the game.
I remember? Yeah,
yeah. That would have ended the game right there if but being fourth down, looking back, you're like that's why you're not in the grasp. You got to put them down on fourth down. You can't just be like,
That's so. I think being a, of course the Celtics go back and forth. You know, I mean, I don't follow basketball as much as I do football.
Yeah, same.
But, here. But yeah, it's. I figure if Dallas ever is really really good again one of these years, you know, then it'll really mean some because it's been so long since.
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah. That's the idea.
But
I do like, I mean, it's nice when there's less pressure. I'll be honest. It's like after a while, I mean, every year you're expected to win. So you really can't enjoy it unless they win.
Right.
But now I'm like, I enjoy football now the way I was when I brought up. You're an underdog practically every week.
Every week. Yeah.
And of course you're disappointed when they lose. The goal is to win. That's that's sports. But it's not the same pressure.
No, 100%. No. My youngest, he always said, you know, when Dallas would lose like the first round or whatever, and he'd be like, well, Dad, we can enjoy the rest of the playoffs now.
That's what I'm saying this year about the Bees. You know, I love hockey's probably my first sport. I'm leaving after this to go play.
Yeah.
And when the Bees lost, I'm like, I took one day off. And now I'm like, I try to watch like almost every game I can. Yeah. I'm like, you know, on in the background or something, but it's like, it's more enjoyable that way. It's like if they, you know, cause you're not, you get to actually watch the game.
Right.
Instead of being like emotionally invested and being like, oh my God, that's fun.
Enjoy
too.
It, right. You just enjoy it. Be like, wow, what a great play or what a great, you know, whatever. Yeah. You really enjoy it instead of, you know, sitting there, you know, sweating.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, what do you do that for? You know, like,
yeah.
No, it's definitely a different dynamic. But well, you go play hockey.
I am going to try. I try. Hockey. It's like I go and I play, but some people think I don't play well. But that's okay.
That's okay.
I do the best I can.
It's whatever.
Just like this, exactly. Just
like this, yeah. Well,
yeah. So
it's all any of us do, right? I mean,
yep.
Do what we can do.
Exactly. So thank you, Tom. Sure. Really thank appreciate you. It. Can't wait to have you back, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got internet. And we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, we could talk a whole podcast about that. Yeah.
We almost did.
Well, fair enough. Yeah.
Crazy. So All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And everybody, we'll be back on at 5 p.m. Our new start time, 5 p.m., 5 to 7, every Tuesday, live show on YouTube. And, you know, podcasts come out on Fridays and, you know, take over Tuesdays on Tuesdays. Get it? All right. Thank you very much. Go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.